man. He's the man for his time and place. He fits right in there. And that's the dude in Los Angeles. And even if he's a lazy man, and the dude was most certainly that, quite possibly the laziest in Los Angeles County, which would place him high in the running for laziest worldwide. But sometimes there's a man. Sometimes there's a man. Ah, lost my train of thought here. But, hell, I done introduced him enough.
With them all for collective action, this will not stand.
According to the emails and the timeline, the CIA circulates new talking points after they've removed a mention of Al-Qaeda.
Yeah.
And then at 6:21, the White House, you,
me,
add a line about the administration warning of September 10th of social media reports calling for demonstrations. True?
I believe so.
Did you also change attacks to demonstrations in the talking points?
Maybe. I don't really remember.
You don't remember?
Dude, this was like 2 years ago. We're still talking about the most mundane process.
Dude, it is the thing that everybody is talking about.
We're talking about the process.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled. You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Did you also change attacks to demonstrations in the talking points?
Maybe. I don't really remember.
You don't remember?
Dude, this was like 2 years ago. We're still talking about the most mundane process.
Dude, it is the thing that everybody is talking about.
We're talking about the process of editing talking points. That's what bureaucrats do all day long. Your producers edit scripts multiple times.
The key part is attacks to demonstrations.
Yeah.
Did you do that?
No. What is the question? Did I edit
the CIA talking points? It was edited from attacks to demonstrations.
No, Michael Morales testified about what he changed and what was changed in those emails and the whole process of that.
But the talking points went through the public affairs people.
Yeah,
which is kind of unique.
These are the most well understood and discussed talking points in the history of talking points. And Michael,
what are you people on dope?
Maybe. I don't really remember.
You don't remember?
Dude, this was like 2 years ago. We're still talking about the most mundane
it is the thing
process.
That everybody is.
I'm the dude. So that's what you call me, you know? That or his dudeness or duder or, El Duderino, if you're not into the whole brevity thing.
And they didn't know that.
With all due respect, the fact is we had four dead Americans. Was it because of a protest or was it because of guys out for a walk one night who decided they'd go kill some Americans? What difference at this point does it make? It is our job to figure out what happened and do everything we can to prevent it from ever happening again, Senator. Now, honestly, I will do my best to answer your questions about this, but the fact is that people were trying in real time to get to the best information. The IC has a process, I understand, going with the other committees to explain how these talking points came out. But, you know, to be clear, it is, from my perspective, less important today, looking backwards, as to why these militants decided they did it, than to find them and bring them to justice, and then maybe we'll figure out what was going on in the meantime.
Isn't that what makes a man?
Sure, that and a pair of testicles.
Man, I've got certain information, all right? Certain things have come to light, and, you know, has it ever occurred to you that instead of running around blaming me, you know, given the nature of all this new shit, you know, this could be a lot more complex. I mean, it might not be just such a simple,
With all due respect, the fact is we had four dead Americans. Was it because of a protest or was it because of guys out for a walk one night who decided they'd go kill some Americans? What difference at this point does it make?
Maybe. I don't really remember.
You don't remember?
Dude, this was like 2 years ago. We're still talking about the most mundane
it is the thing
process.
That everybody is.
Hey, dude, don't go away, man. Come on, this affects all of us, man. Our basic freedoms.
You got the wrong guy. I'm the dude, man.
Dude. The Obama administration let four Americans die in Benghazi because of some misguided election ploy. And while some Republicans want to get to the bottom of it, the, quote, leadership wants to use it as an election ploy as well. Plus, they peed on my rug, man. The NSC White House mouthpiece told Fox News' Brett Baer, dude, that was like 2 years ago, when asked about editing of talking points regarding the attack on our Constitution, although it might as well be, on the consulate in Benghazi. This echoes the statement of then-Secretary of State Clinton, which you just heard. At this point, what difference does it make? Well, the so-called right uses this as an electoral pep rally for conservatives. The so-called left dismisses it as an overblown, quote, phony scandal. Both are simplistic and offensive. Our honorable men and women in uniform adhere to the principle of no one gets left behind. While it is likely that malice is involved, more often than not, it is mere political expediency given primacy over governance, principle, and duty. Furthermore, the entrenched bureaucracy has grown to such a degree that it is impossible for a single executive or even a Congress to manage. This leaves us with a conglomeration of fiefdoms with arbitrary power, nearly absolute, rendering the people as serfs under overpaid lords who seek to increase their clients instead of addressing problems, preserving liberty, and serving the common good. For example, managers at the Veterans Administration earning high six-figure salaries obfuscate records in order to preserve careers at the cost of serving veterans, which has led to the deaths of many of them. If a government's principal concern is not the defense of rights to life, liberty, and property, especially for those who serve in the Foreign Service and military veterans, why bother having a government at all? To be clear, this is not a call to anarchy or jingoism, but a firm resolve to upholding the law, both the written law and the unwritten law. Our Constitution for these United States is our written law. It's built upon hundreds of years of tradition and British common law. That which the colonists sought to reclaim was inherited from Christendom by way of Anglo-Saxon law. Our republic was founded on certain principles, among which are recognition of self-evident truths regarding the nature of natural right, private property, inviolable but not absolute, the rule of law, and the separation of powers, both horizontal and vertical. Yet we face an overwhelming tide of lunacy that only respects the will to power. Without our laws for civil society, we create a vacuum, which is filled by capricious men because they're power-hungry and the rightful power of law enforcement has been abdicated by the people. Without the unwritten law of honor, virtue, and duty, our rights may still exist, but they cannot be exercised. Our governments are administered by bureaucratic technocrats and fiefdom builders. Most of them act like boys gone wild in a frat house. Dude. Our laws are legislated by rent seekers who desire privilege more than service and are easily owned by financial interests who, quote, guide the lawmaking. Our laws are enforced by hired guns over and against a disarmed populace. Most people are placated by rhetoric, and anger is ameliorated by vitriol hurled at the, quote, other side. Some of us are frustrated, but few do anything to change it other than complaining. Complaint is not a strategy, but it can be the first step in restoring the proper constitutional order. Sometimes you eat the bar, and sometimes the bar eats you. But if you are too afraid to even confront the bar, well, that's very undued. It seems overwhelming. It often appears to be nothing more than tilting at windmills, but take courage, because change is coming, no matter what. Either a long, slow, almost imperceptible change down the road to serfdom in a managed decline, or the rough uphill battle of changing course to restore the permanence of principle applied to the ever-changing world in which we live. The choice is yours. The work is yours. To you belongs the duty. The dude abides. You have a choice. Work hard now to further liberty by having real conservatives and conservative libertarians take over the GOP, or watch the statists in both parties push their corporatist agenda to their benefit in our demise. Now is the last chance to stop those who want to fundamentally transform our republic into an empire abroad and a police state at home. end the destruction of our economy by the Republican-Democrat duopoly and their Keynesian masters at the Federal Reserve by standing with the real conservatives, to defeat the lawless hordes of cultural Marxists, statists, collectivists, oligarchs, useful idiots, and their fellow travelers, especially the Democrat socialists. First, you must crush the undued like rhinos for liberty. You are live on Liberty's Thunder with Rex and Trog, irreverent, relevant, and radioactive conservatism with a bite. I'm your host, Rex Lebowski, broadcasting to you from the Imperial City. Dude?
I'm your co-host, Trog, from deep within my cave in the mountain, sharpening my club. You know, I keep getting heartburn every time I listen to that clip set that you put together. And for various reasons. One is it's frustrating that nothing is getting done in terms of the rule of law and some of these scandals, which are immense. I mean, I remember our country just falling apart at the seams over the Nixon debacle. And I look at the last 5 years in this country, you know, everything from the bailout, which was not a bailout, it was a bribe. So they would vote for Obamacare. I don't know if people really ever took time to understand that, but that was money sent to people, states, you know, for backing the president's health care debacle. But, I mean, situation after situation, whether it was Fast and Furious that we don't talk about anymore because, hell, never got the information, executive privilege, you know, right on down the line. The Benghazi thing is for me, it's a little frustrating, and I have to be honest with you. I haven't listened to one interview or read one article on this because it was obviously, to me, was leaked. The information was let go for a reason, and it seems like, you know, and the conservatives and the Republicans, voters, and, you know, everybody's going hog wild 24/7. Last week it was an airplane. The week before that, Putin was invading the world. The week before that, it was, who knows, global warming. You can't keep up with this crap. They just dump stuff on the market, and then the six corporations who control all the media in this country run with it 24/7, and then people talk about it, post about it, you know, for, I don't know, a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and then we're on to the next thing. And then we're on to the next thing, and then we're on to the next thing, and nothing changes. And I think that's my frustration right now. It's really hard for me because you and I have been doing this, you longer than me, but we've been doing a lot, and we try to bring good information to the table, and we try to connect dots and expose, you know, the lies behind the spin and you know, bring relevancy to the insanity that is the United States of America. You know, 2 years ago, honestly, I didn't know what our foreign policy was. You know, 2 years ago, I didn't know who Ron Paul was. 2 years ago, I didn't realize, really, honestly, I knew the Bush era was bad, but I didn't really know how bad that era was. And how bad they messed it up, which, you know, led us to Obama and the communists, I mean, Democrats taking control. And in those 2 years that they took control, they really took control and platformed off of Bush's unconstitutional actions and the Patriot Act, which became NDAA and, you know, drone killing on a weekly basis with no relevant, you know, people don't even know. The information is withheld. We just had a judge the other day. The Supreme Court said, no, sorry, we're not going to hear the NDAA case, the lawsuit that's brought against NDAA, you know, which is just the biggest abuse of the Bill of Rights in the history of this country. Well, there's been a couple other times, but they were short-lived. This one is permanent, embedded, and has hundreds of billions of dollars invested in behind it. So here we are. You know, 8 years of Bush, you know, 6 years of Republican control, endless wars on terror. Well, actually, that's over now. We've solved that problem. Now we're back to the Cold War with Russia and Obama's poking China in the eye. So we're poking the bear, we're poking the dragon. He ran around to four little countries and said, we're going to bring you military and we're going to stand behind you. And I'm like, who's threatening them? I guess they think China's threatening them. I don't know. You know, it's just all a bunch of bullcrap. You know, trying to shove this TPP treaty down people's throats. So there's all kinds of things going on all over the world that are really important to where the U.S. stands and where it may not stand in 6, 9, 12 months to a year and a half with the U.S. dollar, because there's all kinds of new alliances being built all over the world and new trade deals circumnavigating the U.S. dollar, which is the only thing that is holding up our fake economy. And so, you know, which has already dropped 10% since the late 90s on the world market. So there's a ton of stuff going on. And something hit me, Rex, because I've been really frustrated with the media. I haven't listened to a radio show, and I haven't watched cable news in a month, because I just threw up my hands and said, they're all freaking insane. I mean, I always knew they were all full of shit up to their eyeballs, and it was all propaganda. I mean, in 1983, 50 corporations owned the media in this country. By 2011, six did. And of those six corporations, three of the top donors to Obama were mainstream media companies, which if you look at their investment portfolios, you see the defense industry is big into these companies. I mean, Saudi Arabia is big into Fox. I mean, it's insanity. And we cover this stuff. And sometimes we're very focused and sometimes we're all over the map, but because it's just so insane. But we're at a point right now, and it hit me today, and I think I finally calmed down because I realized, oh, we're in the election cycle, so you know, the spin is happening on both sides. You know, let's talk about Benghazi for 3 weeks, and that'll increase donations, and Republican voters will think that we're doing something, and think that, you know, Boehner won't block it. We finally get a special prosecutor. Hey, more power to Gowdy. I love the guy, and I know he's trying hard to do a good work, but he's got about 530 crooked politicians that will not help him. You know, I mean, we've been dealing with this Benghazi thing for 2 years, and it was never about, and honestly, and here's the frustrating part, even though it should be very much about we left people behind, and America doesn't do that, but it was never really about the consulate. It's about running guns to Syria and arming al-Qaeda and al-Nusra and arming the bad guys in North Africa. The Libyan government only controls 3 of 50 weapons depots. That's how screwed up it is in Libya. That means 47 of them are open to the black market trade to get those weapons into bad guys' hands all over the world. I mean, here's a question for you people who are listening. Did you know that the U.S. military is now in 45 countries in Africa? 45. While you were watching American Idol and American Political Idol and the Super Bowl and the War on Terror that I supposedly we won, and all this other crap that's going on in the country that we focus on, and the U.S. Military has built up a whole new force and is now embed in 45 countries in Africa. And you don't even know it. And it's your tax dollars. And it's your military. And we haven't even finished the damn wars that we started. I mean, I haven't seen one report, Rex, since we pulled out of Iraq about the thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of people who have died in that country in in violence in that country, and not one report. And yet, the mainstream media, when we were in the war and Bush was in office, every damn day we knew every innocent person that died, every soldier that died, every soldier that had a hiccup or a hangnail, 24/7. And tens of thousands of people have died in that country after we spent first of all, we invaded on a pack of lies, and then we left prematurely, and left it totally unstable. And, you know, 500,000 people died in the invasion and the time afterwards, and now, you know, like several thousand a month are getting killed and blown up every day, 50, 60, 80, 100 people. And you could say, well, that's not our problem. Well, we caused it. What do you mean it's not our problem? You know, I don't know what the solution is. I think the solution is quit frickin' invading countries and quit toppling sovereign nations, i.e. Ukraine, i.e. Newland, McShane, Soros. What the frick are we doing toppling a legitimate government in a country that's right on the border of Russia? What in the hell? What idiot thought that was a good foreign policy? Now we're in a frickin' Cold War. Hope it doesn't go hot. Because Russia ain't no third world country. They're big. They have a huge military. They got a lot of bombs. They got nuclear bombs up the gazoo. I mean, can you imagine Russia toppling Mexico's government? What the hell we would do? Being next door? I don't know. Well, you know what I'm saying. But, you know, well, their economy's grown faster than ours. You know. I mean,
drugs are profitable.
It's insanity. What's going on? And I hope to God 2014, we got, you know, Greg, the primary in North Carolina coming up on Tuesday, and I hope to God, I really do, that people focus and get more conservatives in there to back Lee and Cruz and Paul and Amash and Gowdy and the rest of them, because we got about a dozen guys fighting tooth and nail every day being attacked by both Democrats and Republicans. And if we don't get these guys some help, they're going to burn out, you know? I mean, it's vicious to go to work every day and being one of, you know, 500 people trying to do something right to save our country before we collapse. Because, you know, you and I do economic programs all the time, or every so often. And, you know, our economy's in bad shape. We've been printing $1 trillion a year for 5 years, dumping it into the economy and buying our bad debt. And now China's not buying our debt anymore, and they're dumping it quietly every month. And maybe that's why Obama's starting to attack them. Who knows? You know, I mean, I just hope to God they don't drop it all, fast drop it on the market, because if they short sell it, we'll be in the Stone Age. So anyway, here we are, dude. Another insane week, another like, are you freaking kidding me week? Because that's how I feel right now, is, are you kidding me? I didn't think it could get any stupider, but obviously we are. And obviously, well, it's going to get worse. I mean, tracking, you know me, I track world events, and that's kind of where my passion's at. And there's all kinds of things going on, and the average American knows nothing, because you watch cable news, you watch Fox, and you listen to the pundits and the pundits and the talking heads, and John Bolton and McCain and are you kidding me? These are the people that got us here, you know, that group, and I hope to God Americans wake up. I really hope 2014 is successful. I think that we're going to be somewhat successful if people will stay focused in terms of getting some constitutional conservatives in power. And hopefully, and it means nothing if we don't get the leadership either voted out, you know, the Boehner, the McConnells, and the rest of that group, you know, but at least if they get voted back in, which is just a sad day in hell, but if they get voted back in, that the leadership gets replaced, because these leaders, you know, whether it's Boehner or McConnell or Ryan or the rest of them, anybody thinks Ryan's a conservative, I'm sorry, you're a fool. I don't know how people can be sold this bill of goods when all you got to do is go on Google and you can search their records, you know. And I mean, it's insanity, Rex. We have Google. We have more information at the tips of our fingers than we've ever had in the history of the world, and people don't know how to research because they're so busy being told what to fear, who to hate, who to believe, who not to believe, what the story of the week is, airplane this week, a whale last week, you know, the Cold War redux. I mean, it's just, you know, people just, I mean, you see it in social media. It's just a total propaganda machine. And thank God there's people like Ben Swan and the rest of the alternative media, you know, that really focus on the truth. And we're going to need more of it. And if you want to know why they're going after the Internet, that's why. Because those six corporations and the government want to control everything. I mean, the USSR fell in 1991, but communism never left. That was the mistake that Americans made. We thought we defeated communism. We didn't. All we did was defeat the USSR. Communism's alive and well. Total control, totalitarianism. You know, invading every aspect of your life, spying on everybody, taxing you to death, police forces in the country that look like armed military, you know. I mean, it's here, it's now. Orwell wrote a science fiction, but I think he understood something more than people will ever understand or ever want to understand. So here we are, dude. What constitution? That's the name of the title of this show. What constitution? Where is it? What? Besides the Second Amendment, because they haven't figured out how to take 300 million guns. But they're working on it every day in every state and every county and at the federal level, and it's one that's probably one of the hardest ones for them to get. But they get your guns, and it's over. Because that's the last thing that we have. I mean, even Putin said this. He said, America, we went through this. Do not give up your guns. Isn't that funny? You know? So here
we
are.
Well, that's just like your opinion, man.
Dude. Man, oh, man, oh, man. It's crazy right now, isn't it?
Well, am I the only one that gives a shit about the rules around here? Yeah, no, I think you nailed it. I think it is crazy, and there are distractions. I think that the Republicans are using Benghazi. You can see it. Just turn on Fox Noise anytime during the day, and you're going to hear Benghazi. They're using it as an electoral ploy, but there are, like you mentioned, Trey Gowdy and ISA and some others who are genuinely wanting to get to the truth on this, and will they get anywhere with the other guys essentially speaking towards Benghazi as an election issue but not really wanting to get anything done about it? And, you know, some people say, well, it's a phony scandal. Well, was Watergate a phony scandal? How about Iran-Contra? You know, those didn't appear to be phony scandals. And if I'm not mistaken, on both of those, people went to prison. Holly North was in jail. Gordon Liddy was in jail. You know,
they get
Nixon
better
resigned.
Jobs nowadays.
Yeah, Nixon resigned before he got impeached, and Reagan was, you know, he was exonerated. But let's keep in mind something. With Iran-Contra, whatever might have been going on illegally, there were two things that were of merit. One, we were trying to fund a resistance to a communist regime just south of our own border here. That's kind of important. And two, they were trying to get American hostages released from Iran, saving American lives. Here, we've got four dead Americans because we didn't want to expose the fact that we were funding al-Qaeda in Syria with weapons to kill Christians and topple the last secular Arab regime, which is right in Putin's backyard. That is a very different thing. I think that makes this considerably more concerning, and we do need to get to the bottom of it. Now, you know, don't get all excited that you think somehow this is going to end up with Obama's impeachment. That's not going to happen. I'm not saying it shouldn't happen. I'm just saying it's probably not going to happen. But the fact is that
Republicans are too weak.
Yeah. It is an issue that highlights, though, that if you want Republicans to be conservative, then you're going to have to send in more people who are actually conservative or libertarian-ish. And that's up to you. This is happening because of whatever it is that you did or didn't do. Oh, well, Rex, what do you mean? I mean, why are you blaming me? Well, I'm not blaming you. It's my fault, too. It's Chris's fault. We don't do enough. And so they get away with this stuff. We have to do more. And one of the things that we can do, oh, wait a minute, we're doing it. Chris and I spent a lot of time putting these shows together to get information out to you, and we want to thank everybody who has shared the show on Facebook and tweeted it out and given people personal invitations. That is the only way anybody knows that this show exists. We can do the show. We pay to do the show. We spend the time putting it together, and we do the show. But unless you tell people about it, nobody hears it. And, of course, remember, all of our shows are available anytime. You just go to blogtalkradio.com. You search out Liberty Thunder. Every show is listed there. You scroll down the page. The hyperlink is the title. You click on the title. It plays right in your browser, free of charge. I think you have to listen to a 30-second commercial, and then it plays. And if you go below the scrolling graphics, there's the download button. You just right-click on that. You get an MP3. You can download that, play it in your MP3-enabled device, send an email to somebody, burn a CD, take it to your Republican Party meetings, your Tea Party meetings, your Campaign for Liberty meetings, whatever, dude. So just get it out there. And remember that you're not endorsing everything we say. You're not endorsing the colorful metaphors we might use. But you're telling people to think, to get through, as Chris said, the controlled media, which also a lot of alternative media is controlled, and find out the truth and work hard to get real conservatives elected. Now, a lot of people say, oh, our elections don't matter, they don't count our votes, blah, blah. Well, you know, like I said in the beginning, complaint is not a strategy. So unless you want to take your deer rifle and go up against a drone, a tank, a paramilitarized federal agency, in some kind of Wolverine Red Dawn scenario, then you better use the tools you have at your disposal now to prevent it from ever getting to that point. And the way that you do that is you get more people involved, you get more people active, you get more people to understand the principles which conservatives really stand for, which are overwhelmingly in common with libertarians. And where we have differences, we can settle those. We can work on those later. Right now, we have a wall standing against us that is putting us in more debt than we can handle. The Fed is printing more money than it's ever printed. We're involved in more military conflicts than we've ever been. The force is thin. The money is thin. And intelligence in Washington, D.C. is very, very thin. How do you think you got a guy like Barack Obama elected? That's what happened. So you have to inform people and get them to do the work. And one of the ways you can do that is tell us what you're doing out there. Call the number is 646-649-1013. That's 646-649-1013. I want to get to some other stuff, Chris, because we got a lot to cover. We got this week coming up May 7th through May 10th in Tennessee. I think it's Memphis. We've got the RNC spring meeting. They've already kind of pushed through the advanced schedule for 2016. Don't jump on to 2016 yet. We haven't got any official announcements. We don't know what's going on. But let's be clear about something. 2014 is going to define 2016. If you want to see a Rand Paul, a Ted Cruz, a real conservative, a real libertarian get the nomination at the for the Republican Party, then you're going to have to make sure that there are plenty of conservatives in the party in power sitting on the Hill this year, because we know that the rules are rigged. Romney and Ginsburg and Sununu and Boehner admitted that they stole the election from Ron Paul and possibly Newt Gingrich last time. This time they won't have to cheat to do it because they've rigged the rules, but it can be done if there is enough of a momentum. And the only way you're going to get that momentum is to get people to see that this is possible by getting conservatives elected this time. This coming Tuesday, you've got a primary in Indiana. You've got a primary in Ohio. Who comes from Ohio, Chris? Let's see. Ohio. That's right. Speaker, crying, tan, useless beef jerky John Boehner's in Ohio. Why don't you get rid of him, Ohio? Oh, well, I'm not from Ohio, Rex. That's fine. You don't have to be from Ohio. If you've got money, send it to the opposition. If you don't have money, you got time. Maybe you don't have much time. Find the time. Make the time. Make the calls. Wake up the Republican voters. Primary elections are even lower turnouts for midterms than just about anything other than possibly your county sheriff, which should be one of the most important elections, but people don't know that. So it doesn't take too many people who know what's going on to change the tide. Get rid of Boehner. Get rid of him. Don't even give him an opportunity to be Speaker again by making sure that he stays in Ohio for the next congressional session. You've also got a primary, a special primary in CD 12 in North Carolina. We're going to talk a little bit about that with in the second hour. But get busy. Get things out there. Make it happen. That's the important thing. So in order to get to all that good stuff, let's get the rest of this. Yeah, let's get rid of the rest of this Benghazi stuff, because what does this highlight? I mean, the fact that this guy, it was on, I forget, I guess Neocon Hour with Brett Baer on Fox Noise. This guy was guy. He looks like a girl, but whatever. Dude, he was on the National Security Council. He was there the night of September 11th, 2012, when Benghazi, you know, the attack on our consulate happened, where they told us it was a video when it turns out it wasn't a video and all that kind of stuff. Why are you covering it up if you didn't do anything wrong, people? This guy actually said, dude, that was like 2 years ago. Four Americans died. That's not a minor thing. We've got veterans dying because they're being put on waiting lists where they bleed out and die at home because no one's treating them, and then they cover up the records to make it sound like, oh, he was just here 2 weeks ago. So this is the kind of stuff that goes on when you have unelected bureaucrats with power that they shouldn't have screwing things up. Bureaucrats by nature can't get things done, which sometimes is good because otherwise they would really be coming down on us. But the fact is that this is the kind of stuff that happens. And for somebody who's on the National Security Council on a national cable news show to say, dude, that was like 2 years ago. I mean, come on. He's a human paraquat. All right? So it's just baffling. And then the worst part about it is that this only happens because the rest of your leadership is even more stupid. And I'm going to play a clip now. It's got some Obama in there and a little bit about the Benghazi thing. And I want Chris to point out the parallel between the fact that they said that this was a video and an unorganized protest when these guys showed up armed and they knew exactly what was going on in the compound, to what Obama says about Ukraine, where he's saying that this can't possibly be a spontaneous protest. These are clearly organized by Putin's KGB, which, by the way, the KGB disappeared in 1989 when the Soviet Union crashed. But anyway, it's a 4.5-minute clip, and then I've got also something on Gowdy. Let's see if we can get decent bang down the first hour and move on to other stuff. Call the number is 646-649-1013, 646-649-1013. Give us a call. Chris, you want to throw anything on that before I play the clip?
No, I'm sure I'll have something to say on the other end.
Oh, I bet you will, dude.
How long have you had these droids?
About 3 or 4 seasons.
They're up for sale if you want them.
Hey, I want a droid, Sarge.
You can't have a droid, Phil.
Let me see your identification.
You don't need to see his identification.
No, Grandpa, I do need to see his identification.
These aren't the droids you're looking for.
Of course they are. There's the gold one and there's the little white one.
These aren't the droids you're looking for.
Dude, you can keep saying that, but it doesn't make it any more true.
Move along.
Hey, don't tell me to move along. I'm the one with the gun. You guys want to back me up on this?
You got the gun, Sarge.
Damn straight I do.
The notion that this is some spontaneous uprising in eastern Ukraine is belied by all the evidence of well-organized, trained, armed militias with the capacity to shoot down helicopters. Generally, local protesters don't possess that capacity of surfaced air missiles or whatever weapons
no
were used to shoot down helicopters.
This tragic
type of senseless violence. None. The world must stand together to unequivocally reject these brutal acts.
This is a fairly volatile situation, and it is in response not to United States policy, not to, obviously, the administration, not to the American people. It is in response to a video, a film, that we have judged to be reprehensible and disgusting. That in no way justifies any violent reaction to it. But this is not a case of protests directly. The incident in Benghazi, as well as elsewhere, these are all being investigated. What I'm saying is that we have no evidence at this time to suggest otherwise, that there was a pre-planned or ulterior instigation behind that unrest. We don't have and did not have concrete evidence to suggest that this was not in reaction to.
Three! What about mine? What does mine say?
That, but what I will say is, again, diversion, subterfuge. Benghazi, Benghazi, Benghazi. Why aren't we talking about something else? Whatever was in that, what I know of what I've read in the press about the that those emails were very consistent with what was put out there. In the scope of the subpoena that whatever his name is, ISA, was putting forth did not include that email. A FOIA is a different story. So you can't say what you put out under subpoena, FOIA you should have done under his subpoena. Well, that's not what a subpoena encompassed. And it isn't that different from what else was out there. And if you all want to sit around and talk about Benghazi, you can sit around and talk about Benghazi. But the fact is, that's a subterfuge that they don't want to talk about.
Oh, nice Mormon.
And in the hours that ensued after the attack on our consulate compound in Benghazi, did you hear YouTube video? Briefly discussed, but not from any serious standpoint. And what time did you first hear that there was a video, roughly?
It was early on in the evening of September 11th.
Before 3:15 in the morning.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, we were absolutely. I would have to say, probably dismissed that notion by then, by working with other sources.
Okay, I just want to follow up with this one last thing. You heard about this early on, and you, as the deputy and the highest ranking person that moment, working these issues, you dismissed the idea that this attack was, in fact, a demonstration that went awry and it was based on a YouTube video out of Los Angeles.
Yes, sir. Short answer.
Thank you. Recognize the ranking member.
Thank you very much.
Maybe? I don't really remember.
You don't remember?
Dude, this was like 2 years ago. We're still talking about the
dude,
most mundane
it is the thing
process.
That everybody's...
I know that, dude.
I know that, dude. It's a subterfuge, right? It's about a video. Why are we still talking about this? Well, first off, four Americans died, including an ambassador. That's one. That's a pretty important thing. That's a pretty big problem. We should know why. Why did it happen? Who did it? Why haven't they been brought to justice? And where did our alleged, quote, leadership fail in doing the right thing? Does that mean that they would have definitely saved their lives or they wouldn't have died? I don't know. We don't have that information. Here's the problem. Why are we now just getting around to having a special prosecutor on this when it's been 2 years? I'll tell you why. Because people like Johnny Boehner and even Lindsey Graham and Jihad Jane McComet, they want to use this as an issue just like they want to use Obamacare as an issue for winning elections, not for actually governing, legislating, or getting to the truth of things. And the reason that you're hearing about this is pretty much because it's being pumped out 24/7 on Fox News. It's not being covered just about anywhere else. Now, why are they doing that? Because they're hoping that this red meat issue for conservatives and Republicans will be enough to swing you to support rhinos like Lindsay Leitner, Loafers Graham, Jihad Jane McComet, Bob Bailout Corker, Mitch Conman, McConnell, and maybe even a Jeb Bush or a Mitt Romney. That's what they're going to use it for. But the fact is it is a real issue, and this dude comment is just revealing how stupid the whole thing is. And then to make that comment that you heard Jay Carney there talking right after Benghazi happened, and then you just heard Obama go the opposite way regarding Ukraine. These people have no respect for what's really going on. They don't know how to lead. They're incompetent, and it's just disgusting. Dude, what's mine say?
Chris?
I'm glad you spoke first because I was screaming when I had mute on. Our system is so corrupt. When was the last time anybody has talked about the fact that we're $1 trillion over budget than the Bush era, which was $1 trillion over budget than the era before it? And our bureaucracy has grown exponentially. And we have military bases in over 800 places around the world and hundreds of conflicts going on that nobody knows anything about. And people wonder why this crap happens. You know, you think about, I'm a simplistic kind of guy. You think about how difficult it is just to run your family and your household, you know what I mean, and your budget and work and stay healthy and, you know, deal with an accident, you know, one little thing like an accident, you know, somebody runs into your car, runs a stop sign and how that disrupts your whole life. Think about a $3.6 trillion bureaucracy with 93 million people no longer in the workforce and all that money and all those departments and all those, that duplication of system. And then you have one disruption, you know, one thing, like whether it be Benghazi or, you know, hey, let's go topple Ukraine. You know, let's go cause a revolution on Putin's doorstep. Yeah. You know, I don't think these people can control everything that's going on because so much of what our government lives today was put in force several administrations ago, and it's just growing and growing and growing. You don't even know who runs what anymore. I mean, we have a $1 trillion F-35 that still doesn't work. You know, we have a $7 billion stealth ship that is kind of stealth, they said. You know, and like, oh, well, maybe we won't sell many of these. Oh, you just throw away $7 billion plus the research to get there, when any human being that knows anything about military hardware knows that Russians and Chinese have been able to get past our stealth for decades now. And we have whole military programs based on a technology that is inefficient and can already be hacked. I mean, it's insane. We are living, while you were busy chasing the American dream, you know, buying and selling houses and investing in the fiat stock market, this shit's been going on and growing and building and building and building. 9/11 was a key time, and it wasn't just a key time because it was a terrible tragedy, which it was, but it was a point when government, all these power brokers said, we can run with this. I don't care who did it. You know what I mean? Everybody's got their theories, whatever. But it happened. It was real. And our government went hog-ass wild. They, you know, with the Patriot Act, NSA, NDAA, NSA, all of it. You know, wars, the war on terror, now the war on terror on top of the Cold War, on top of now we're trying to encircle China, who owns $4.3 trillion worth of our trade dollars and our debt. And I don't think anybody's in control. I really don't. I think there's so many different competing fractions, you know, factors out there that we're at a point where all they got to do is just something goes awry and they just go, oh, there's a good distraction. I don't necessarily think they even make the distractions. I just think crap falls apart and they go, oh, well, throw that at the six companies who own the media and let's run with this for a week or two and keep everybody distracted while we steal more of their freedoms, spend more money overseas, topple more governments, expand more military, and then try to shove this TPP deal down our throat, down people's throats while nobody's paying attention. That's where we're at. We are at the end of an era of continual building out of corruption and government and bureaucracy and insanity and absolute insane foreign policy. I mean, I can't fathom that the average human being hasn't sat down and taken a look at our foreign policy and said, what the hell? Because if you do, if you study it, you're going to go, what the hell? You know, that's where my tax dollars go. That guy's got an awful nice yacht that he parks in the Mediterranean. Oh, wait, he's gone. We toppled him. Who's the next guy? How many billions are we giving him? You know, this is where we're at. And either people are going to wake up or they're not. I don't know. I say it all the time, and it may sound kind of fatalistic, but I think this country is going to have to collapse before people wake up. You know, I know there's a lot of good people out there fighting hard, you know, and trying to do the best they can. But I still, you know, it's still a small percentage of the country. I mean, midterm elections, if they pull 37% of the population, we had a good year. Hell, Crimea had 97%, you know, 80-some percent turnout, you know, and we can't even get 37% of the people, you know, to show up and frickin' vote. Oh, but voting doesn't matter. It's all corrupt. No, and you said this 1,000 times. The only way they can swing an election in a corrupt vote situation is if it's close. If it ain't close, they can't jockey the numbers. It's too obvious. So if people get off their butts and get out there and you know, and get involved in 2014, I mean, we got primaries happening left and right. I mean, Cornyn, I couldn't believe Texas just rolled right over and just put him back in power. He's full-fledged neocon, you know, wins the next war, you know, let's go nuke Russia, you know, kind of guy. Great. That's really freaking great. You know, how's that war on terror working, folks? I mean, these are the people that are in control of a lot of your government. These neocons, the America is the Rome of the modern world, and we've got to manipulate it or blow it up or topple it or, you know, whatever. We got to have enemies everywhere because we don't want to fix anything at home. That's where we're at right now in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And whether you're a Ron Paulinian, you know, and you're that far on that scale or you're more midway like you and I are, you know, whatever, it's terrible. It's bad. And we're going to end up with freaking war if we're not careful. And, you know, maybe that's what we need. I don't know. You know,
there are
several. Well,
yeah,
but there's a difference between what we have been doing. Those aren't wars. Invasions where we have, you know, overwhelming force, those aren't wars. Those are just, you know, blowing shit up. You mess with China and Russia, you got a war. Oh, my God. You got a
real war.
Well,
should have a war for messing with Americans is who they should have a war for. This friggin' stupid federal government and all these, you know, NSC dudes, you know, they should have a war on their hands because they're messing with America. But what are you? You're playing Crazy Birds, Candy Crush Saga, watching, you know, The Voice on TV, eating a bag of Cheetos. What the hell are you doing? And of course, if you're listening to this show, you're not like that. I'm not blaming you. I'm just saying Americans in general, that's the problem. You, because you're listening, because you're active, because you know what the problem is, you have to do the work. It sucks. No one's asked you to do it. It's your duty, and you have to do it harder. Every single day, just like Chris said right now, they can't rig the elections unless they're close. You got to increase turnout, and that doesn't mean just get out to vote or, you know, show up to vote. It means being involved all the way. It means knowing the difference between a conservative libertarian and a Gary Johnson libertarian. It's the difference between knowing what a conservative Republican is versus a progressive liberal rhino neocon corporatist who's pretending to be a conservative Republican. I mean, guys like Bob Bailout Corker and even Mitch Conman McConnell, they can speak conservative. They can sound conservative, but they're not. They might even do some conservative things just so that their record looks good, but they're not. They are the ones that are doing exactly what Chris was just talking about, getting us into wars with nuclear powers that are holding our debt that have, I think, with Russia and China, between 8 and 20% each of the debt to GDP, we're at 100. You cannot win military conflicts if you don't even have the resources to fund your military campaigns, which makes you weaker, it puts you in more danger, and they're spending more money on militarized power directed against American people than they are in actually building our defense. And if you look at who owns these guys, usually whoever owns them, that's how they vote. And most of them are owned by foreign interests through their American corporations and defense contractors, the military-industrial complex that Eisenhower warned you about.
So you got to do something about it. Now, you can throw your hands up and just, oh, but every single day you can do something. You can teach someone. You can educate someone. You can inform someone. You can ask someone to get involved. You can tell them what to do. You can give them the necessary links and the phone numbers and the organizations that they can go and utilize to not only get informed and understand what the Constitution means, what the rule of law is, what actual conservatism is and who the actual conservatives and libertarians are. And remember something, conservatives and libertarians have so much in common, we should just be locking hands right now and fighting side by side. We can step on each other's toes later, but right now we've got to take down the duopoly. We've got to take down the establishment. We've got to take down the corporatists. We've got to take down the neocons and the war party. That's what has to be done. And you got opportunities, like we just said. You got Indiana, Ohio, and special North Carolina this Tuesday. The following Tuesday, you've got Nebraska and West Virginia. On Tuesday the 20th, you've got Arkansas, Georgia, Idaho, Kentucky, Matt Bevin versus Mitch McConman. Get busy. Oregon and Pennsylvania. And then Tuesday the 27th, you got the Texas runoff, even though friggin' Cornyn. So, you know, that's a lot of stuff that is going on, and you better get involved. You better know what's on that ballot and who these guys are before you show up to vote, and you better get a lot more people to know and show up to vote. Every day you have to do something. Well, you know, but I'm busy. I've got my job and my kids. I understand that. But this stuff affects all of that. It's your money. It's your job. It's your security. It's your ability to light your house with an incandescent light bulb or flush your toilet or grow your own food or move sand around your property. It's insane. Now, a lot of people say, well, I don't really see it being that bad. The structure is there. The ability is there. They haven't turned it on yet, but you watch what happens when the money goes to pot, the market crashes, the dollar tanks, and suddenly we find ourselves in a land war in Crimea. You watch what happens. They'll come down on you so hard like a ton of bricks, you won't know what the hell happened. You'll end up looking like a paraquat or a marmot. So you got to know what's going on, and you got to know what the real story is and what the crap story that they're feeding you. Now, Benghazi is not a crap story, but they are using it to cover up all this other crap because they got every conservative through the Fox noise. They're going, oh, Benghazi, you got her. In the meantime, these primaries are going on, and no one is talking about them. In the meantime, you got an RNC spring meeting to fuck you over with the rules again, and no one's talking about it. So I'm not discounting Benghazi. It's a very important thing, and we need to follow up on it. But don't let that become the only thing that you're focused on, or you're focused on chemtrails, or you're focused on how Ron Paul got screwed, or you're focused on this or that. The important thing is to get people in power who know what's going on and believe in citizen government so that they can roll back this federal monstrosity. And that means that at your county level, you better know who your sheriff is. You better get a good sheriff. At your local level, your state level, and the national level. The national government right now, it's supposed to be federal. It's national. It controls everything, and it controls the states. Okay? When we had the when Delegate Bob Marshall put a bill here in the Commonwealth of Virginia to state that no law enforcement officer in Virginia will comply with federal law enforcement trying to enforce the indefinite detention provisions of the NDAA, essentially kidnapping American citizens, our congressman, who's now stepping down, Frank Wolf, came down on the legislator and tried to pressure Republicans into supporting this thing. So you have to understand something. The national government right now is very powerful. You got to get people in there who are going to restrain it, but you have to also work at the state and local level. Now, we're at the top of the hour. I want to get off this Benghazi thing, so here's the last bit on it. And this is important to note because this man might be the special prosecutor on this. Here's the important thing. Trey Gowdy knows what's what. Trey Gowdy is really conservative. Trey Gowdy is fighting his heart out for you. He's obviously up for re-election as every other congressman is, so make sure you re-elect him. Make sure you support him. Make sure you thank him. Make sure you let everybody know who he is and what he's doing. And maybe if this Tuesday we can get rid of Boehner, and then in the next Congress, maybe this guy could be the Speaker of the House and actually do something to thwart the corporatist agenda that Obama's going to push through for the next 2 years and actually set us up for a restoration. These are the kind of things that matter. Here's Trey Gowdy on Fox Noise.
I know that, dude.
And up first, big developments in Benghazi. Today, Speaker of the House John Boehner announcing the House will form a select committee to investigate the Benghazi attack. Also, the Oversight Committee announcing it will subpoena Secretary of State John Kerry. Representative Trey Gowdy joins us. Good evening, sir.
Good evening. How are you?
Good. What do you think about this select committee?
I'm glad the speaker did it. I had called for it several months ago, despite the fact that I'm on one of the committees of jurisdiction. I just think 20 months is too long to get answers to questions, and I think with the Ben Rhodes memo, that was a straw that broke the camel's back with respect to the speaker. So not only are we trying to get questions with respect to Benghazi, we're also now investigating what appears to be a White House cover-up, and one of the worst explanations for why they didn't turn the document over is I think the speaker just finally lost his patience. I'm glad he did what he did.
What difference does it make if it's a select committee? I mean, how does this make a big difference in the investigation?
Well, instead of having the Department of Defense with Armed Services, I mean, we were so pigeonholed or fragmented. You know, Foreign Affairs has jurisdiction over the State Department. Armed Services has jurisdiction over the Department of Defense. Oversight kind of fills in the gaps. You just need one committee that can send subpoenas. If you want to have Greg Hicks and the station chief from Tripoli and Hillary Clinton all sitting at the same table, you need a committee that has the power to do that. And a select committee would have the power. It crosses all jurisdictional boundaries. You have subpoena power. And you can work in a really coordinated effort. And, you know, I think our chairmen have done the best job they can do, but you have a tendency to kind of stick within your own bailiwick, and we need somebody to cross those lines. We need those lines to disappear, frankly.
All right. Secretary of State John Kerry has been subpoenaed by House Oversight. Why?
Well, Greta, if you go back and read some of the old quotes, and I know administration officials hate it when we go back and read what they said a year ago, but a year ago he said, with respect to Benghazi, if you're having any trouble getting information, let me know. Well, Mr. Secretary, we're going to let you know. We're not getting the information. This Ben Rhodes email,
it?
We should have gotten.
Is it bureaucracy or hiding it?
Well, I have evidence that not only are they hiding it, there's an intent to hide it. I can't disclose that evidence yet, but I have evidence that there was a systematic, intentional decision to withhold certain documents from Congress, and we're just sick of it. So we're going to get him to come explain why we're getting documents 20 months late.
All right. Are you going to be on this select committee?
The speaker's going to make that decision, Greta, but here's what I can tell you. I have a picture. I would, if he thinks that I'm one of the best questioners in Congress, what I told him today is you need to put the best questioners, the best investigators in Congress on that select committee. I think Chaffetz is great. I think Jimmy Jordan is great. The speaker can decide whether he thinks an old washed-up prosecutor from South Carolina is good or not. But I'm going to help the committee regardless of what position, if any, I have. I will volunteer to be a summer intern because I want the family members of those four victims, each of whom I promised, I will get you the truth. I want to be able to keep that promise.
All right, Congressman, I want to play a soundbite for you. Now, this is President Obama today answering a question about the crisis in Ukraine. And listen carefully, sir.
The notion that this is some spontaneous uprising in eastern Ukraine is belied by all the evidence of well-organized, trained, armed militias with the capacity to shoot down helicopters. Generally, local protesters don't possess that capacity of surface-to-air missiles or whatever weapons were used to shoot down helicopters.
You think he wants a do-over on that or not?
You know what, Greta? If you did not know better, you would think that he was a Republican member of the House describing what happened in Benghazi. The only thing he left out is the protesters were using defensive moves, military moves that have to be trained. I am stunned that he said that about the Ukraine when the evidence is just as good, if not better, with respect to the attack in Benghazi. I'm sure he would like to rephrase that answer to the question.
I think his staff gasped when they heard him say that because, I mean, look, it is the description of Benghazi that so many people have said that, you know, that the firepower on the ground in Benghazi, you know, was significant firepower, that it wasn't just a bunch of firecrackers or something.
I think his staff has been gasping a lot lately. When you have someone who's supposed to be a professional communications person sounding like Jeff Spicoli from Fast Times at Ridgemont High talking to Brett Baer the other night using the word dude, And when you have Jay Carney trying to say that a memo was not Benghazi when you produced it in response to a subpoena about Benghazi, they've been gasping a lot this week.
The dude of mine.
There he is. That's the dude. Chris, you want to take that and let's get off Benghazi?
You know, as far as the key thing on this, as far as the timeline, you know, everybody, especially Democrats, are talking about, dude, this was 2 years ago, all this bull crap. Well, if they had done their job and delivered the papers that were asked for 2 years ago, we would be past this. And that's the problem, is the, Fast and Furious. We never got to the bottom of it. Everybody knows what happened. We were selling freaking guns to drug dealers. Come on. You know, people got killed. A lot of people, a lot of Mexicans got killed, one of our guys, you know, and then one later. But it's the same thing. I mean, I just typed something in chat. If the media didn't cover 99.999% of the time, then most of this stuff would have been pushed through a long time ago or exposed. You know, I remember Watergate. It was the media, you know, that took that on and stayed on it and pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed until they finally got enough uproar in the country, excuse me, you know, to finally get it exposed. Well, we live in a six-company, total-controlled information source media in this country today, and that's your challenge. And if they are all for covering things up, or exposing what they want to expose, or, you know, protecting somebody or whatever, it gets done. And if there's anything that in this day and age that we live that is so important, is that you turn off the mainstream media and focus on real information and the truth and build your networks of people around that so your information flows. And, you know, I got a kick out of there was a picture I saw, and it said social media is like Egypt. People write on walls and talk about cats. And I saw that picture, and I'm like going, yeah, you know, all the time. You know, there's about three or four things that are very important in this country that'll make or break the United States of America, and they're usually not what are being talked about. It's the economy, it's our foreign policy, and it's the corruption. And those things right there, if those things aren't fixed and corrected and we don't get better people in Congress, then those things will collapse us. And it's that simple. And call that a conspiracy theory, I don't care. You know, we're in bad shape. We were in bad shape 5 years ago. We were in bad shape 8 years ago. And it hasn't gone away. It's only gotten worse. The corruption is worse. The lies are worse. The media spin is worse. Nothing is, our foreign policy is beyond insane right now, and nobody's talking about it, and it needs to be talked about, and more power, God bless Galley. You know, he's a good guy, and he's been fighting this battle for two freaking years, and it's been a Republican who has essentially blocked him. John Boehner, remember that. In a couple days, remember that. It's been John Boehner who has refused to put together a special prosecution situation where they can get focused and get the right people subpoenaed and the right information dealt with. So, I mean, I don't know what else to tell people. If you believe Republicans are the solution, you're wrong. You need conservative, constitutional, libertarian-minded people. And if you don't get that, welcome to the USSR, baby. You're up.
Johnny, I know. It's okay, relax. Yes, I just did tell everybody that the primary in Ohio is on the 6th, this Tuesday. I know, you're probably going to get fired, but look, it's your fault. You screwed up. You're the one that is walking around, dude, looking like a human paraquat, acting like a friggin' marmot. You're the one who's not standing up for real conservative. Well, I know you talk conservative. But you're not. You're a wuss. And you say stuff like, you know...
Mr. President, this is your moment. We're ready to be led.
Well, Ohio, for God's sake, lead him out of office. Get rid of Johnny Boehner. He's Obama's little golf lackey. He's a friggin' caddy for Obama. That's what he is, okay? Obama is playing the game of golf with your money and your weapons and threatening your life, and an amateur game at that. And Johnny Boehner's his friggin' caddy. He's over the line. Market zero. Fire him. He's got to go. Fire Boehner. And remember something. The RNC spring meeting is this week. This week. John Boehner read off a friggin' teleprompter in Tampa, predetermined outcome for a rules vote where objections were put on the floor and he ignored them in order to jam through rules that allow Karl Rove and the Rhino CLEC, the Consultant Lobbyist Establishment Complex, to pick your candidates for you, shutting you up because you're dangerous. You actually want to shrink government. You want fiscal responsibility. You want the rule of law. You want federalism. They can't have that. They need their millions of dollars for campaigns, giving you hope in nothing because they deliver nothing on both sides. That's the problem. John Boehner read off a friggin' teleprompter and stole any sense of integrity in the Republican Party, which is one half of the national duopoly that's entrenched, that if you don't take over, you might as well just curl up in the ball and cry like he does because it'll be over. Johnny Boehner did that.
Without objection,
Tuesday.
The previous question is
Tuesday.
Ordered.
Fire his ass.
The question is on the adoption of the resolution. All those in favor signify by saying aye. All those opposed, no. Any other chair, the ayes have it. The resolution is adopted. Without objection, the motion to reconsider is laid on the table.
This aggression will not stand, man. Do something about it. Are you following the RNC spring meeting? Do you know anybody who's going? Are you making calls? Are you getting those paraquats in the RNC to actually vote on something that makes sense and open up this party? Because it's supposed to be a party of the members. But if the members only take their marching orders from the overpaid consultant douchebags on K Street, what do you think this party is going to be? It's going to be the controlled opposition to the other side. And all they're going to do is spread war and debt and elimination of your liberties. That's what's going to happen. Are you following these primaries? Are you getting people to follow them? Do you know anybody in Ohio? Do you know anybody in North Carolina? Are you getting them to understand who is running and why they need to dislodge the establishment? Our call number is 646-649-1013. That's 646-649-1013. Give us a call if you got something on your mind, if you got a question, if you're in one of these primary states and you got something people can do in order to help get a conservative slash libertarianish candidate elected over and against the establishment pricks. What's going on out there? You know, look, we said what constitution, dude? We're making fun of this this human paraquat Tommy Viator from Brett Baer show. Dude, that's like 2 years ago. But look, this is pretty serious. What constitution? What's the point of having a written constitution if you don't enforce it? See, if you're not involved, if you're not enforcing the law, if you're not holding your representatives accountable, if you don't even know what the law is, if you don't know what the militia of the several states is, you don't know what Article 1, Section 8 says, you don't know how an Article 5 amendment works, if you don't know what it is, how in the hell do you think that you can be self-governing? If it's all about equality, that's the thing, right? Fairness and equality. Fairness and equality. That's all that we're talking about. Well, you're going to be equally fair in your poverty and your servitude to the government.
USSR,
when we say equality,
baby.
When we say equality, exactly, we mean equality before the law. Equality before the law means everybody is under the law. From Obama to Boehner to McConman to the corporations to the Federal Reserve. Oh, wait a minute. The Federal Reserve can't be under the law because it's illegal. So it has to go. How about the IRS? Those sons of bitches at the IRS are getting bonuses for targeting conservative and Christian groups and for taking your money. No, I mean, the taxes are a bad thing. No, we should pay taxes. We have to pay for our government. Now, they always say, if you want services, you have to pay for them. I don't want any friggin' services. The government isn't supposed to provide you with any services. The government is supposed to guarantee your rights. Excuse me. And that costs money. But an income tax is ridiculous. And 50% of your wealth is being taken from you through inflation and taxation and ruining the job market, the manufacturing capacity, your worker capacity, and putting you in debt all over the world where it's a very, very dangerous thing, which breeds a welfare warfare state that is on its way to annihilation. The United States can only be taken apart from inside, and it's because you have forgotten the law that's written on your heart. You know, in Britain, the colonists, they came from Great Britain. There was no written constitution. They had the Magna Carta in the 13th century, but there was no written constitution, but there was a volume of British common law that respected private property, the rule of law, that protected individuals. Now, was it as ideal? No. Was it as great as we have had it recently in the past? No, but it was on its way. And so when the colonists felt that the Parliament and the king were becoming absolutists, tinkering in local affairs where they don't belong, instead of being part of the British Commonwealth and only being legislated to by the Parliament on things that actually involved the entire British Commonwealth, they started meddling in our local affairs here. So we dumped some tea in the harbor. We started a war. We enlisted some help. We won the war after 8 years. We wrote a constitution. We established a country of self-governance. But if you don't have that law written in your heart, how are you going to enforce the one that's written on parchment? You have to teach people how these things work and get them involved. And you have to take over this friggin' GOP. I don't care about Republicans. I don't care about elephants. But that's the only way you're going to restrain this thing at the top. And if you want to choke this Leviathan government, you got to purge the rhinos starting this friggin' Tuesday. Get busy. Make it happen. Now is the time. And if you don't do it, it's gone. Now, you might not feel the absolute tyranny. It'll get bad. There'll be shortages. Things will be expensive. People will, you know, die of not getting health care like the veterans have been dying in the If you think that, by the way, that whole veterans thing that's happening is only in one state or one locality, you're out of your mind. It just happens to be that someone there had the courage and their sense of duty and morality to stand up and defend those who we have sent to fight and have been injured in the process instead of letting them die because of bureaucrats who get paid $180,000 to get people killed. It's happening all over the place, and it's going to happen more and more and more. But one day they're going to look back and they're going to say, you know, they tell me that there was this liberty thing and self-governance thing going on, but I think that that's a myth. Or they're going to look back and say, those are the people that restored it. It's up to you. You have to decide to do it. The call in number is 646-649-1013. We got about 40 minutes left. Call in, push 1 on your phone, and I will bring you on. Before we get into the local races, Chris, unless you got something you want to add, I want to talk about what might happen in 2016 if we lose 2014. You got anything on your mind?
I was standing up saluting while you were talking. That was really good. And I'm not being facetious, even though I am a smart ass by nature. That was really good. And it's very important to understand. I think that the biggest challenge, and I used to say this back in the Second Amendment battle coming out of the Connecticut situation, was if you do not live the Bill of Rights, you will lose them. And it's more than just in that situation, I was talking about the Second Amendment. But in all of them, if you don't exercise them, they are at risk, whether it be gun ownership, being responsible for your own protection and safety, or freedom of speech and being involved in those things. Because the challenge that we have right now is the overwhelming dump of crisis, emergencies, chaotic news, you know, focusing, you know, dumping this stuff on us week after week after week of things that really don't matter. You know, yeah, they're kind of important, but they're not the core problem. And it's distractions, because the core problems are really very simple. You know, take the Bill of Rights and stick it on your wall and read it. Those are what's under attack, because if those go and our economy crashes, then all this other crap that people focus on and post about ain't going to mean nothing. it is not going to mean a damn thing, you know. And so you got to really focus on those core issues. You got to find people who stand on those things and get those people elected, both locally and at the state level and at the federal level, because we got a long road back. We had a long road back during the Bush era, and it's even farther away from center. And so, you know, either people get it or they don't get it. I don't know, Rick. You know, every day I wonder, are people listening? Are people reading our posts? Are they listening to the show? Are they making those changes where they get information? Yeah, sharing the show, making changes on where they get information. Are they still stuck on Fox News, you know, getting their brain programmed on who to hate and, you know, how evil Putin is and isn't and, you know, Crimea River and all this bull crap and stuff, you know, and without getting the information behind the scenes and looking at the other side of the story, because you're never going to hear the other side of any story on mainstream media, including Fox News. And I'm not totally against Fox. They have some good people on there, and they cover some good issues, but they're still a propaganda machine. And they cover a lot of stuff up, and they ignore a lot of stuff. And they feed just enough of it out there so that conservatives, Republicans, IE, et cetera, you know, will watch them, thinking that they're the good guys. No, they're not. They're not. Trust me, they're not. But anyway, and like I said, there's some good people on there, and they have some good stuff. So you've got to figure out who you're going to listen to, where you're going to get your information. Then you got to get up and figure out, okay, what am I going to go do with this information? And that's something that's been an underlying thread of what we've talked about forever. And that is, you have to act. And posting the news of the day and the article of the day and the headline of the day on 100 different Facebook sites is not acting. All you're being is a free newspaper delivery person for mainstream media. It just frustrates me to no end. Focus on things that matter and close off the noise, because the noise is a strategy. And so there we are. That's just my input. Go on.
No, you're definitely right. And remember something. Look, we talk about property a lot and the right to property. Remember, property is your ability to be master of your domain in your own home. But when they got so many rules and taxes and everything on top, you're not master of your own domain at home. And if you're not master of your own domain at home, you're not master of your domain in your community in tandem with those who live with you. Someone else is a master above all of that. And it ends up being bureaucrats from Washington, D.C., control everything. And they take your money so that you can't feed your kids, you can't put gas in your car, one out of four Americans doesn't have a job. And what do they do with your money? They kill innocent people overseas, and they build up a bigger apparatus to put their boot on your neck here at home. That's what's happening. That's what you're fighting. Now, you can pick up a gun, storm the castle, and get your ass killed, or you can get a large number of people involved and teach them what it means to be free, what the Constitution says, what the rule of law is, and get them involved so that we can get people elected to office who will actually do something about it instead of just merely give us rhetorical bullcrap so that we keep getting robbed and losing our liberty.
Speaking of which, do you think that you could give me my $20,000 in cash? My concern is, and I've got to check it with my accountant, but that this might bump me up into a higher tax.
Grant, give him the envelope.
Oh, well, you've already got the check made out. That's cool.
You're not going to get a check. There's no Social Security check coming. There's no paycheck coming. There's no veterans benefits. There's no insurance Obamacare check. They're all going to disappear. And the fat cats that they're always talking about, they're the fat cats, like Lizzie Warren, right? Oh, we're going to take out Wall Street and the big spending CEOs and restore money to the people. She's one of them. She gets paid $300,000 to teach one class at Harvard. How many of you can afford to send your kid to Harvard? Rand Paul was recently at Harvard. We'll play some of that, hopefully, if we have time. But here, real quick, I just want some other guy opened his mouth this week. And I think he might personally be a good guy. I don't know. He just seemed that way. I got that feeling from him. But that's neither here nor there. But the fact is that he's helping perpetuate a lie that is very, very dangerous. And most people will eat it up because, oh, I miss him because Obama's so awful. But you got to watch these people when they talk. It's always timed. It's always specific. It's designed to be bookmarked by other stories in order to twist your mind so that you will fall for their lies again.
We'll talk when he's ready. I notice he's moving around the country quite a bit. And
doing well in polls.
Yeah, it's fine. That don't mean anything for him. I can guarantee he's not looking at a poll to decide whether or not he wants to run. It's an internal. He's checking his core, and as he said publicly, I'm thinking about my family. And of course, he knows full well what a run for the presidency can do on family. After all, he's seen his dad and his brother run for president. I hope he runs. He's been an effective chief executive of a big state. I'm confident he can reach out to people that may at this point feel like the Republican Party doesn't listen to them.
I'm not that smart, I promise you.
You are a wuss, part wimp and part pussy.
I'd say yes, but here's the thing. I also know he is a very deliberate, thoughtful guy. He's the biggest thinker on our side. I'm glad he's thinking about doing it, but he's going to make up his own mind.
I'm not that smart, I promise you.
How many assholes we got on this ship anyhow?
Go!
I knew it. I'm surrounded by assholes.
Keep firing,
you want to lose
assholes.
Elections? Stand for nothing. Look at the last four congressional elections, 06, 08, 10, and 12. Three of the four, we followed that strategy. 06, 08, and 12, we put our head down, we stood for nothing, and we got walloped. The one election that was a tremendous election was 2010 when Republicans drew a line in the sand. We said we stand unequivocally against Obamacare, against bankrupting the country, and we won an historic tidal wave of an election. And then, of course, all of us remember President Dole and President McCain and President Romney. Now, look, those are good men. They're decent men. But when you don't stand and draw a clear distinction, when you don't stand for principle...
Imagine a time when the White House is once again occupied by a friend of liberty. You may think I'm talking about electing Republicans. I'm not. I'm talking about electing lovers of liberty.
The dude abides.
I'm not that smart, I promise you.
You dick!
So if you didn't know who that was, that was the second reigning Bush president talking about his brother, who they wanted to be the next reigning Bush president, who himself said, I'm not that smart. And then Carl Ham with Glasses Rove said that Jeb Bush is the biggest thinker on our side. Now, that might upset you because you're thinking, well, he can't possibly be the biggest thinker on the right, the conservatives, the Republicans. Well, no, he's the biggest thinker on Carl Rove's side. Meaning that he's really good for Karl Rove's pocket and for the expansion of the war party. And that's who you're going to get if you screw up 2014, which includes this coming Tuesday in North Carolina 12, Ohio. Get on it, Chris.
Well, I love Cruz. He's got a great message. The one thing that he said in that clip was, in 2010, Republicans got up. Now, here's a key point. The Tea Party movement was people. It wasn't Republicans. They just happened to vote for a lot of Republicans. But it was people of all walks, all color, all races. And the mistake, and I've said this off and on for the last year and a half, the mistake they made was they all went home and said, look at how good we were. Look what we did for the party. Oh, they will love us now. We're the grassroots. We're the party. And they dropped their guard, and they forgot about the oligarchs and the Roves and the Rhinos and the Rockefeller Republicans who have always and will always vie for control of this party. That was the number one mistake. was they forgot who the real enemy was. Yeah, if you're a conservative or a Republican or a libertarian, the left, you know, the communist, socialist, fascists on the left are the enemy. But when you focus on that enemy and you don't see the enemy in your own house, then you're very vulnerable to being killed. And that's essentially what happened to the Tea Party, is they dropped their guard and they thought all was good and we would all, they forgot the Goldwater experience, they had forgot the Reagan experience of how the elite and the power structures of the party attacked Goldwater, and basically when he won the convention just walked away and left him to die in the main election. And the only reason Reagan came back and won is he had the whole damn nation behind him, all people. But cross-party alliance, and that's what's important. And this is the message that Rand Paul has been saying over and over again. It's why they fear Rand so much, is because of the preliminary work his father did of crossing all party lines with the message of liberty and sound money. That's very important. And Rand has that foundation in him and a little bit more conservative twinge. But the thing is that he's dangerous because he goes to a CPAC and gets standing ovation and wins a straw poll. Then he goes to a liberal college and gets a standing ovation or multiple standing ovations. So he's crossing all party lines. That makes him number one enemy, not for the left, but for the Karl Roves, the Bushes, and the Republicans, and the Ginsburgs, and the rest of that, those elites who are happy being the backbenchers in a Democrat-controlled government, because then they can piss and moan and point fingers all day long while they get rich promoting more war. That's really how simple this is. And I don't know if that sounds conspiratorial to people, but that is the facts. That's just connect the dots. Look at history. This is where we're at. And the guys like Rand, probably Rand the most, because his liberty message crosses, like I said, crosses all barriers. And that's extremely dangerous to the oligarchs. And if anybody didn't know what an oligarch is, it's who we bitch and complain about in Russia about all the time. You know, the rich people in control of the country, kind of like America, the rich people in control of the country, same people. So, you know, when you're pointing the finger at Russia, you need to look at the other three fingers pointing right back at America. Don't kid yourself. This is not 1980 Ronald Reagan era anymore. This is 2014, second election of a socialist, communist leaning president and a country that voted him in again. It's a different world today. And so you need to get real about what's going on in the country, who the enemies are, and who the real enemies are, because I can tell you from a combat situation is, if you got a guy, and you can get my son on the line, he's probably stuffing his face right now, that duck he just cooked. But, you know, if you got guys, like when they were training up the Iraqi guard, they couldn't trust those guys. They had no clue if they were the enemy or not. Look at what's all the deaths in Afghanistan. You know, you're over there trying to help these guys and train them up to defend their country, and then you go over to dinner at their house and they kill you. You know, the traitor inside your home, inside where you relax your guard, is more dangerous than 1,000 guys facing across the trench pointing their guns at you, and you're prepared for them. So this is important to understand this, and I really believe this is the lesson, and hopefully the grassroots and the Tea Party movement has learned from their mistake, because if not, the same people that are in power, and not just the people who are elected, but the people behind them, will be the same people that are in power in 2014 after it's all done and the smoke is cleared, which means they're in perfect position to push the most unpopular guy in the country and get him frickin' elected in the primary. Look at Romney. It didn't matter what the hell people did or what they voted or what they wanted. You know, he got the primary election regardless. They changed the damn rules. They drove people around in buses
so they
couldn't get there to vote. Yeah, I mean, it was insane. We covered all – you were there. We covered all this. And people think something's changed. What's changed? Karl Rove is still at Fox News. He's their senior political consultant. The guy has like a 3% success ratio. He wasted hundreds of millions of dollars of other people's money. But they want their power
money
so bad, they kept him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's doing it again.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you, man, I hope people wake up, Rex. I really do.
Well, they ain't going to wake up unless we – that was good. They're not going to wake up unless we wake them up, and that means you. I mean, you got to share this show. You got to get it out there. You got to get active. You got to call people. You got to reach out to them personally. You've got to make a case. Don't write, oh, Obama's a Nazi, Hitler-like, communism, blah, blah, you know, that kind of stuff, that emotional outrage. It works on this show, but it doesn't get people onto your bandwagon of getting active. Just point out the problems. They don't respect the rule of law. They're spending money that we don't have to destroy our economy. One out of four Americans doesn't have a job. Everything else is more expensive than it's ever been. They control just about every aspect of your life. At the turn of a switch, they could shut off the power grid, the internet, whatever. Governments have done this stuff before. Now, ours hasn't done it. I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon, but it could. The problem is that they're not supposed to have this power. You have to teach people how this works. You have to tell them to get involved. You have to point out who's done what. Well, but, you know, well, John Boehner is pro-life, and Mitch McConnell's done some good things for Kentucky, and you know, Bob Corker helped, you know, the VW plant there not fall prey to the unions. And so, you know, these guys are okay, you know, and Mitt Romney was a good businessman, and he would have been a better executive than Obama. Bull, bull, bull. Bullshit. And, yes, I've probably been cussing a little bit more tonight than I have recently, but this stuff's getting down to the wire. We got a big primary coming on Tuesday, and I don't know if people are paying attention. I tend to get a little fired up.
There's just one thing, dude.
What's that?
You have to use so many cuss words.
What the fuck are you talking about?
You know, sometimes my language is not the problem. Sometimes the problem is lack of language, lack of involvement, lack of passion, sitting back on your ass, stuffing your face with Cheetos, watching Kim Kardashian or whatever, whatnot on TV, playing your crazy birds game and what have you. Look, this is serious. John Boehner is going to get reelected, and he might be speaker again unless you stop him. Tuesday's your chance. Tuesday. What do we got Tuesday? Tuesday we've got Indiana. We got Ohio, including Boehner's district, and we got a special election in CD-12 in North Carolina, okay? You know, well, what's that all about, Rex? How do we know who to vote for? What do we do? You pay attention. You pay attention. The information is right there at your fingertips. You know, I used to have to get off my butt and go down to the library and go to the card catalog, and I had to have a notion of what I was looking for, and I had to sift through the card catalog and find like two dozen books, and then I had to use the Dewey Decimal System and walk up and down various aisles and go up and down various floors and go to the stacks and make photocopies and read. You can do all of that at your fingertips, yet you know less today than you've ever known. Did you know that there was a special primary in CD-12? Have you told anybody? Do you know anybody in North Carolina who might actually be doing something? Have you contributed any money? Have you made calls into North Carolina? Have you figured out which of the candidates is actually worth getting behind, not only because he has a chance at winning, but because he actually has principles which you support because they increase your liberty. They restore fiscal sanity. They restore the rule of law. I can't do it alone. Trey Gowdy can't do it alone. Isaac can't do it alone. Rand, Ted, and Mike can't do it alone. You need to increase, and the only way you increase their numbers on the Hill is if you increase the numbers in your backyard of people who are involved. We're running out of time. Only got 19 minutes before we go into dark time. At the top of the hour, you're going to lose the feed if you're listening live. You're going to have to call and listen on your handset, 646-649-1013. Here's the guy running against the Rhino speaker, I think, from North Carolina. In CD-12. Pay attention.
I endorsed him the other day. Greg Bannon, how are you, sir?
Oh, Mr. Levin, it's phenomenal being on your radio show. I got the opportunity to be endorsed by you the same time Mr. Tillis got endorsed by Jeb Bush. We win that one pretty easily, don't we?
I like the way you put that, pal. That's right. So he was endorsed by an open borders guy, a Common Core guy, really a big government Republican, and you've been endorsed by a conservative. Now, Greg Bannon, The goal here, first of all, the primary is Tuesday. I want everybody in North Carolina to know. It's May 6th. It's Tuesday. It's very important. The point is if this fellow you're opposing, if his numbers can be held to under 40%, then there's a runoff rather than so many people in the primary, correct?
Correct. And, again, your timing with your Levin surge at this point could push us over. We know our internal polls, and it's very interesting. He's acting. He spent over $1 million in the last 4 or 5 days attacking me at Hanum. He will never discuss the issues. He said Obamacare is a good idea. We can't afford it. He supported Congress.
Whoa. Stop right there. Mm-hmm. I want the whole nation to hear this, because we're not going to repeal this damn thing if we send a senator from North Carolina, a Republican, who's not going to fight to repeal this. He said Obamacare is a good thing?
It's a good idea. He actually put it in the House in North Carolina to get state exchanges. It was our Senate that stopped it. Now he's suddenly saying the Burr plan's okay. It's still nationalized health care down, so it's Obamacare light. We need men like Cruz, Lee, and Paul that understand the Constitution and stop this mandate coming down. I'm an OBGYN, sir. I delivered a baby an hour and a half ago. I have 7 children. I
wow.
actually read Obamacare, and I understand clearly how this usurps the power of the Constitution.
By the way, what's your website if people want to come and help you and find out more? And we don't have a lot of time. It's May 6th. It's Tuesday. Where do they go?
At Greg, G-R-E-G, Brannon, B-R-A-N-N-O-N .com. And we know grassroots win campaigns. We understand that clearly. And our team has been motivated. We have over 75,000 on Facebook. That's more than Hagan and Tillis combined. We've been backed by FreedomWorks, Senator Paul, Senator Lee. This is truly are we a constitutional republic or not? I heard in your 7 o'clock hour about the same people have for the Declaration of Independence. The Declaration's second paragraph answers the two most important questions. Who's sovereign and what is a legitimate role of government? The Creator makes in his image. We are sovereigns. We are given our consent, not to have masters, but to have the government protect inalienable rights. And that message, again, your books, Liberty and Tyranny, that's my favorite book you've written. And that is what our decision is. Are we going to understand what liberty and tyranny are? And when we do, sir, it is booming.
You know, it amazes me that a man like you, who speaks as the framers spoke, who talks about the Declaration of the Constitution, is considered by the establishment as an outlier. Somehow you're controversial. Now, what's controversial is the massive size and breadth and authoritarianism of the federal government, and it's going to drag the whole society down. And you're a guy who's decided, you're a doctor, you've decided, look, I've got to put it on the line, and my understanding is, I'm not in North Carolina, they are unloading everything they can against you to push this mealy-mouthed, weak, mush Republican across the finish line.
Yeah, it's not going to work. Again, we know our internal polls, and we believe that, again, right now, with a surge from you, the grassroots getting out there, we may be the one over 40%, not him. They could attack me all they want at Hanuman. I do not care. I have no fear. All I know is this. It takes men and women of honor to stand up and say no to this. And you and I know it's the consent of the governed. You and I know that framework is perfect. We just need men and women to honor their Article 6, their constitutional oath in Article 6. We do that? Come on. You know, what you've done the last, 10 years educating us has put people on the line. Life Center Lee, you want to talk about a hero? That's a hero. He doesn't care about anything other than God, his family, and this country, and he puts it all on the line. And we need more men and women like that, and we can have that. I don't want to call it a revolution, because it isn't. We have a great contract. We just need men and women to have the revolution of idea to stand up, and we can have another great awakening of true individual over the collective. And you were saying a little while ago, by 1978, we are the Carter years on steroids. And what came after that? Reagan.
Mm-hmm.
Is that it? You know, he's kind of fired up. I hope he does well. I like him. I've heard him before. I've heard his message. You know, he has a good message. I mean, you never know what anybody's like until they get in there for a couple of years, you know, and get some power behind him and get the pressure of the corruption on him. But he seems like a good guy. I think it's really important, you know, when I hear guys like him speak, or Rand or Ted or Amash or Gowdy or whatever, you know, what I hear is our founding fathers.
our founding fathers, when they put this country together, knew what the hell they were doing. You know, I mean, we look back, we think about, God, man, 1700s, they didn't have the internet and telephones and TV, and maybe that was a good thing. You know why? Because they read and they studied and they debated and they thought about things. And they balanced things against a moral objective in their lives and what they believed. And they created something phenomenal. And the progressives and pre-concept progressives, the totalitarianism, people who wanted to remanufacture the English system in America, that group of people, you know, the Federalists, they, total control has been around for a long time. Anybody who is a Christian has read the Bible or the Old Testament, nothing's new under the sun. You know, the concept. Now, we deal with technologies are newer, and we got cars and planes and jets and cruise missiles and nuclear weapons and all this wonderful crap. But the basic concept of people, a handful of people, trying to control everybody else is not new. And that's a really basic core concept. When I wake up in the morning, I don't get up and think about, okay, what is the federal law and how I should get out of bed? What is the federal law on which pant leg I put on first? Let's see, I'm heading in to get a cup of coffee, okay? Is my coffee maker federally compliant? You know, I mean, it's insane what we live in today. And the speed that the government has taken over our lives is indicative of the speed that individual Americans have given up their responsibility for their own lives. And that is a very, very important statement to get your head wrapped around. Because if you live in fear and you are unsure of who you are and what you believe, whether it's, you know, your religious beliefs or your core foundational beliefs about your freedoms and your individual rights and responsibilities, then you're just a sheep for the slaughter. And America, and I think about this, and I'm saying it all the time to you, Rex, when we're chatting, is you know, this is not the 1980s anymore. You know, I, the numbers of kids that are on Ritalin in this country is astounding. The number of people who are in the obesity range is astounding. The number of people who live in fear. I mean, all you got to do, if you want to find out how inept people are, just have a power outage by a four-way light. People can't even get through the damn intersection, you know, and I just, you know, I grew up in a non-technical world, so to speak, you know, because of my age, and so I never relied on technology. Now, I have technology, and I can use it. You know, I have smartphones and computers and everything else like that. I can build websites, whatever. I've learned, but it's a tool for me. It doesn't occupy my life, you know, and that's the difference. We have this constant feed of information of people telling you, okay, smile now, okay, sad now, okay, oh, be happy, be crazy, you know, the little smiley faces and shit. People are, it's just like a programming. I mean, who are you? What do you believe in? What do you stand for? Have you grown a garden in the last 5 years of your life? Have you planted a tree? You know, I love working in my yard because it brings me close to core things that are important to me, building things, overcoming things, you know, figuring out, you know, I have a challenge in terms of, you know, what I got to do to get this tree in the ground and make sure I can produce fruit. That's missing from this country at every facet. And it's a different world than it was in the 80s. I don't think it's a different time in terms of, you know, crisis and economics and totalitarianism and the battle against progressivism. I don't think that's really changed so much. But there's a lot more people have just basically surrendered their will and their life and their joy and their happiness is all dictated to them based on, you know, what they're watching, what they read on the internet, what groups they belong to. I mean, my God, you know? I mean, I remember that there's that group, A Sheeple No More, you know, and it's kind of interesting because it's a very profound statement. Because are you a free, independent person, or are you willing to be a sheep? Because those people that live in the ninth circle of hell over there are happy as hell for you to be a sheep. Because that means they have all the power, They can make all the decisions. They can launch all the wars. They can print more money. They can bribe each other. They can get rich all off of your back. And they know that you're just going to basically zone out in front of the computer and the TV and talk about nothing. You know, that's where we're at in this country. You know, pop another pill. Legalize drug addiction is unbelievable. We're talking 70% of the people in this country are in some form of prescription mood-controlling pill, psychotropics. And the numbers of kids on this crap is unbelievable. You know, my neighbor, I found out, you know, young kid, you know, he's on some of this crap, and it just pissed me off to no end, because I watch him pitch the kids out the door, and they play in the street all frickin' day long, and my wife and I have to police the situation, because there ain't no damn parents that even bother to stick their head out the door, go play with them, or, you know, make sure the kids are not getting too radical, you know, not killing each other, you know, and I'm like going, that isn't indicative of the society that we live in today. And I can't relate, because I wasn't raised that way. I didn't raise my kids that way. And it's very difficult, but it's real. It is so real. And I hope there's enough people that are awake in this country to start turning it around, because if not, what the hell? Give it 2 or 3 years. We'll see where we end up.
Well, you should be coming on pretty soon, dude. How much do you smoke?
This will be a little demonstration of that. Listen up.
What was that?
That was my skull. I'm so wasted.
Is that what you were talking about?
It's worse than that, Rex.
Yeah, it's definitely worse than smoking little grass. But, of course, you know, that's legal. Or out your way, it's already recreationally legal. You know, what's next? Well, of course, we're making electronic cigarettes illegal and incandescent light bulbs illegal. And, you know, your four-way light going out thing was so radically true, it just it kind of made me cry. Because you're right, people have gotten so dumbed down. And I mean, look, technology, and what you said about technology, I have to agree with. It's great. You know, it is a wonderful tool. But when you become completely reliant on it, you can't function for yourself. People fall into manholes and lakes and ponds because they're texting on their phones. You know, people drive into ditches because their nav system told them to turn left, recalculating. And what do when we go vote? You go up there, you know, I'm going to do my duty, I'm going to vote. They hand you a sample ballot. So they pretty much tell you, this is who you vote for. And you go, well, you know, generally I'm a Democrat, so I'll take the blue ballot. Or generally I'm a Republican, so I'll take the red ballot. And then you go push the buttons on the computer screen. And you don't know what algorithms they have in there. You don't know who's hacked it. Do you even know how the process works? Have you ever been to your precinct? Have you ever looked at the elections board rules? Do you know how someone gets on a ballot? Do you know when the primaries are? I mean, the information's out there. They don't hide, you know, everybody thinks in some kind of totalitarian state they hide all this information from you. They don't hide it from you. You're just not looking for it. You're not paying attention. Now, of course, if you're listening to the show, you are, but that's, you know, audience is pretty big for a blog talk radio show, and we got a lot of fans and people who post the show and share the show and communicate with us, and people who call in and all that kind of stuff. But come on, compared to Bill O'Reilly at 8 o'clock, it's nothing. Compared to the constant bombardment they're getting from Jon Stewart and Steve Colbert, it's nothing. Compared to what they're getting in television commercials, which are now pushing agendas, it's nothing. And you're not going to compete on their terms. The enemy's terms are they control the money, they control the high ground, they control the information. Our terms are people, personal contact, reaching out to people, showing them how things work, showing them where they can get the information, getting them involved. How many calls have you made to get John Boehner fired on Tuesday? How many people have you told that there's even a primary on Tuesday? How many people have you talked to about the losses that we've had in Texas and maybe the gains we've had in Florida. How many people have you heard say stupid stuff like NDAAs, you know, there's no indefinite detention for citizens, or, you know, well, they're not really spying on us through the NSA, they're just collecting metadata. I mean, you know, come on. And this isn't a Democrat-Republican thing. This isn't a left-right thing. This is a tyranny versus liberty thing. But most people are perfectly comfortable with the tyranny so long as their team's in charge because they feel that they're on the protected side. But that could turn very quickly. It's a crappy game they play to keep us divided. Now, I don't expect Obama supporters, especially those who are still supporting the asshat after 5 years, or true blue Democrats or Marxists or whatever, to give a crap about any of this, which is fine, because in reality, they're a friggin' minority. But I do care about Reagan Republicans, libertarians, Ron Paul Republicans, Rand Paul Republicans, paleoconservatives, or what have you, fighting with each other about these stupid little quibbling points while we lose the whole kit and caboodle because we're fighting with each other. In about 2 minutes, we're going to go off the air. If you want to listen live, call in 646-649-1013. That's 646-649-1013. If you are listening podcast or on the Internet through the browser, just keep going and it'll keep playing. But if you're listening live and you want to hear it live, you're going to have to call in. Otherwise, go anytime to our show page, blogtalkradio.com, search out Liberty's Thunder. All the shows are available to play anytime. Share them anytime. Tweet them anytime. Download an MP3 and give it to people anytime. Get the information out there. I know sometimes I use colorful metaphors. Sometimes we have a little fun. We play a little Spies Like Us or a little Big Lebowski. I mean, come on. Theodore just gave us a beautiful opportunity when he said to Bret Baier, dude, that was like 2 years ago. I mean, you can't pass up an opportunity like that. But the information we're getting out there is stuff people aren't talking about. People are not talking about the fact, and some are. You know, Josh Tolley, Jeffrey Green, you know, there are others who are out there doing this. It's not like, you know, Chris and I have a monopoly on this. But you've got to get people involved. You've got to get them awake. You've got to get them to understand that the Constitution is only as strong as our willingness to enforce it, to support it, and defend it. And why is it important? Because this country was founded on the notion that all of us are equal before the law, and all of us are under the law, and the law is the Constitution, and no statutory law can countermand the Constitution without being properly amended. And that's what these Article 5 conventions are about. You've got nullification tools. There's a countermand amendment out there. You know, get involved. Make something happen. But the most important thing is that if there's a nation of 330 million people, if 100 million of us get busy doing these things at the local level, the state level, the national level, we could turn this around, and within a few short years, we might right the ship. But if there's only 3,000 of us, 10,000 of us, 50,000 of us, nothing changes. You need to create a force multiplier. Chris, you want to add anything to that, or you want to play something fun?
Play something fun.
Well, you know what's always fun? Rand Paul. Rand Paul is always fun. I like listening to Rand Paul. So let's see. We've got campaign finance. We've got, you know what, how about we do 2 minutes on conservatism. This is Rand gave a really good speech and question and answer at Harvard. I guess it was last week. We'll probably play some more of this next week. It's all really good stuff. This is just a short clip of it right here.
I just want to express my admiration for you. You're the only Republican who's been able to actually go to CPAC, win straw poll, and then go to UC Berkeley and receive a standing ovation. And I think that's illustrative of your ability to bridge the divide, and so I hope you end up running in 2016.
Thank you.
That said, my question is, since the times of Edmund Burke and Barry Goldwater, you've seen conservatism change with the times. And I'm curious to hear about your remarks on how this country is changing demographically. My generation is becoming more accepting of gay marriage and more secular. And I would like to find out from you how you feel conservatism will evolve in the future to adapt to these shifting societal norms, and is that a good thing?
You know, I think one way that it shifts, and one way it would be easier for us as a country to shift, is if we had more federalism in the sense that we left things up to local communities. And so what you would have is New York State, which has gay marriage, and you'd have Kentucky, which may not. Now, I think really you're going to get a uniform standard much more quickly because that's the way the courts seem to be headed in this. But I think it would be easier on society if we allow things to gradually unfold state by state in a more of a diffuse manner rather than a centralized decision. People are going to be very unhappy if they feel like it's been dictated from another part of the country or from Washington to their state. That being said, I think, yeah, people's views are changing. And what I've said is that, look, I'm personally very conservative. I just, you know, I'm old-fashioned on some of these ideas, if you want to put it that way. But I also think that we can agree to disagree on some of these things and that there doesn't have to be a litmus test to be in the Republican Party, nor does there have to be a litmus test to run for office in the Republican Party. It doesn't change who I am, and I am who I am. I've been an adult for at least a few years now, so I probably am where I'm going to be on these things. But I am open enough to know that my wife doesn't agree with me on every issue, neither does every Republican agree with me. And if we're very doctrinaire and we say, you have to believe X to be in the party, we'll have a real small debating society. We won't win many elections. And so I think we need to welcome everybody who wants to believe in some of the core limited government principles, you know, that the Republican Party believes in, and that the greatest amount of wealth and jobs is created by a small government with great freedom in the marketplace.
No, that guy's just some, you know, fringe, crazy, nut job, libertarian kook talking about, you know, who knows what. But, I mean, how can you support a guy like that, Chris? That's crazy. Over the line.
Well, when I listen to Rand, you know what I get? I get calm. You know why I get calm? Because he isn't playing the game about, you know, those dividing issues. Whether it be, you know, pot or gay marriage or this or that or the other, that's all that spin environment. And people just play that crap off each other all the time. And I guess it gets donations and it gets people to vote for people and whatever. But I've never been caught up in these particular, I don't want to say little because some of them are important issues, but these particular things. Because if you don't have economy and we get into World War III, and we don't secure our border, we're going to collapse. So who gives a shit about some of this stuff? But I know it's important to people, but I love the way Rand answers those trick questions because they are trick questions because they're the buzzword conversations, you know, the pot, the gay marriage, the this, the that, the other, you know, whatever. And it's almost, to me, it's like if you can get somebody to comment on this and take a stand, then okay, well, now we can attack the shit out of him. And I swear, Rand is showing himself to be a master of not getting caught in these traps that leave him up. Now, they're going to attack him anyway. Don't get me wrong. You know, you actually posted an article the other day, and I said, yeah, damn right. He needs to, you know, quit worrying about what people think of him and just be himself. And that's going to be the greatest strength. But at the same time, you do have to watch your P's and Q's because they're looking for every opening they can. You know, it's dying of a thousand cuts. You know, if you understand knife fighting, you know, you're bleeding your opponent. You know, you're not getting a vital organ very often. So I know it's kind of gruesome, but whatever. But you have to
gnarly.
Know what I'm talking about. Yeah, but you know what I'm saying. You're bleeding somebody, okay? And so in that kind of environment, and that's how politics is played in this country. And the thing is Rand is under attack from both the left and or from the Republicans and the Democrats because he represents common sense, fiscal responsibility, you know, taking a more realistic approach and what in the hell are we doing all over the world and who are we giving money to and, you know, those kind of issues. But he's awesome. I'm sorry. I like him. I didn't know much about him a long time ago, but I like his calm and his common sense because that's what's going to get people elected long term on the big scale. Anyway, I don't know if I got off track there.
No, I mean, I think I was kind of being sarcastic when I told you, you know, to comment on that. But, yeah, look, a lot of people say, you know, well, Rand Paul, you know, won't be able to do it, or he's not, you know, conservative enough, or he's not libertarian enough, and this is the problem. When we start nitpicking over the good guys, we're going to lose. We're not going to get anywhere. You know, has Rand done everything that I like? No. Has Rand done most things I like? Yes. Has Ted done everything I like? No. Has Ted done most things I like? Yes. That's how you have to look at it, and you have to realize that you're not going to get a libertarian. You're not going to get Ronald Reagan. And the only way you're going to get your perfect candidate is if you run. Well, you got no money, you got no shot, but, you know, maybe at a local level you could do something. But we have some heavy hitters playing the game on the national stage, doing some really good things right now as senators, as congressmen, okay? And what we need to do is help them, because these primaries that are have already started. We got three of them on Tuesday. These primaries are going to decide what kind of narrative the party is going to have. They're just going to decide what kind of direction this party is going to take over the next 2 years, which is going to have a huge impact on what happens in 2016 and who you get as a nominee and whether you can or can't beat the corporatist shield that the other side puts up. It starts now. But you can't wait until the day before the primary. You can't wait until the day before it's time to vote. You can't wait until the last minute to do this stuff. This is not, you know, we're so used to Twitter and on-demand videos and having everything at our fingertips. This stuff takes time, and there is an entrenched money power and an entrenched establishment that wants to hold on to their positions, not to mention the life or bureaucracy that likes to do the things that they're doing and get paid for doing them, that you're up against. And it seems like it's a losing battle. But it's only a losing battle because you think that you got to do it alone, or you think that there's only three of us, or you think that other people that you don't talk to about politics wouldn't come around to your way of thinking if they are relatively normal, middle-of-the-road Americans. But we don't talk about these things. It's impolite to talk about religion and politics. But let's talk about our sex lives and hang our winkies out in the air. This makes sense? This makes sense to you? To talk about your sex life and your drug addiction and go on Oprah and confess your emotions and wonder about who's a racist and who's not a racist and about the size of Kim Kardashian's ass. These are important things to talk about, but we don't want to offend people by talking about religion and politics, because that just, you know, it's so divisive. There's not enough polarization in this country. Oh, Rex, that's crazy. There's too much polarization. No, there is not enough polarization. We are all willing to go along and accept our mediocrity and quibble about minor little things here and there, but we're not willing to stand up and make the strong case. We're not willing to get in somebody's face about what they're doing wrong. We're not willing to put our mouth where our money where our mouth is. We're not willing to make phone calls. We're not willing to sacrifice time. We're just willing to share the latest Facebook meme and hit retweet. That's not going to do it. I mean, social media is important. It's a powerful tool. It's the only way I think our show is out there, unless you tell somebody about it personally. But that's not going to get somebody elected. It can help, but it's not going to get somebody elected. It's not going to get the run-of-the-mill, idiot, blind Republican voter who just goes and votes party without thinking twice about who the candidate is or what they do or what their record is or what the laws mean. It's not going to get any of that changed. You have to make that change, and you have to realize that that's the unwritten law which precedes the Constitution. The Constitution is where we order things legally. But if you don't have that law of liberty in your heart and you're not willing to enforce that law and participate, then you're just whining. And I don't care if you're getting stoned in your parents' basement and thinking you're some kind of ANCAP libertarian genius who knows Austrian economics, or if you're just a douchebag running around playing golf and thinking because I wear khaki pants and a blue blazer I'm a good Republican. I don't care. What I care about is the fact that these are real issues, these are real things to be concerned about, and I don't know how in the hell – this is a radio show on Blog Talk Radio, and I can say whatever the hell I want to say, and so can Chris, okay? It's very simple. We still have that First Amendment power to do that, right? But how the hell does some little boy wearing girl's panties end up on national TV representing the National Security Council of the White House, talking about four dead Americans in Benghazi, Libya, get to say to Bret Baier, dude, I don't remember. That was like 2 years ago. What have we become? Chris, sorry.
We have become controlled by six media corporations. That's what we've become. And we become controlled by entertainment and social media. That's what we've become. You know, we live our lives, and we're looking for somebody else to tell us what to fear, who to hate, you know, who to be threatened by, who to vote for, you know, what's important. That's what we've become. It's the greatest sell job in the history of mankind. When you look at Bernays, when you do the research and go back in history, I mean, that guy got a whole generation of women to smoke. You know what I mean? I mean, and then he got us into World War One, and he sold it. You know, he was the master at moving society. And that whole psychological, philosophical, you know, manipulation that he created became the marketing structure for both politics and for products and services. And maybe I'm just twisted, or I got a messed up chromosome or something in my body, but I've never been swayed by ads. I've known wealthy people. I've known filthy wealthy people. I've known movie stars. You know what I mean? And I mean, John Wayne used to come to Alaska and, you know, into Juneau, and I'm like, walk up to somebody and I'm like, yeah, how you doing? Who are you as a person? I don't give a shit how many movies you've made. You know, I just have never been that starstruck American. And I, like I said, maybe something's wrong with me. Maybe, you know, ignorance is bliss. But because of the way I was raised, it was, you know, looking at a man in the face and going, who are you as a person? You know, what's amazing in America is you ask somebody, what do you do? And they tell you what their job is. Their whole life is wrapped around their career. And who, you know, what do you do? I'm a father. I'm a husband. I'm a citizen. You know, I volunteer. I mountain climb. I do martial arts. That's what I do. You know, work is a secondary thing. But in our society, you know, everything is wrapped up in your title of what you do, how you make your money. And in reality, you know, that never impressed me either. You know, I was always impressed by the guys who didn't have to work because they were smart with their money, you know, and how they made it. And so when you looked at their life, they had lifestyle and they had freedom to do things because they weren't attached to this mechanism that our society has talked us into. Our whole educational system in this country, I don't know if I'm getting off on a tangent here, but our whole educational system in this country was designed by a socialist, and it was designed to make work units out of a changing society during the Industrial Revolution and make good worker bees. That was what our educational system was designed for. And now, you know, when you look at Common Core, everybody's freaking the hell out. And I'm thinking, hell, you should have been freaking out 50 years ago. You know, I mean, I grew up, my grandmother was a teacher, my mom was a teacher, my dad was a teacher. You know, and I grew up with some very brilliant people. Much, you know, I didn't get that gene. But, you know, even back then, my mom left teaching back in the late 60s or 70s. She said, this is bullcrap what they're doing. They're dummying down America. My mom was saying that way back when I was a kid, you know. And I remember my wife and I sitting down with my kids going, my kids, I don't know how many hours. I worked 80, 90 to 100 hours a week most of my young adult life so my kids could be in private school and my wife could be home, you know. And my friends would look at me like I was crazy. And yeah, they may have bought a new boat that year or had a bigger house or whatever the case may be, you know. They were in debt up to their eyeballs. But we refused to do that because I knew I had one chance to raise my kids and to give them the opportunity to be sane, sober, independent Americans. I mean, call me crazy, you know. And why was that? Because I was exposed to the manipulation that was coming down our society back when I was a child because of my mom. She's a sociology history major, and that was her thing. and she used to, you know, run this crap by me, you know, when I was a kid before I knew any better. Then I became an adult, and I was scared to death of where my country was going. So I was going like, okay, in my little stupid world, you know, I've got to do everything I can, because if I don't produce good offspring and good adults for this society, then when I'm old, it's going to be shit. You know, it's going to be hell. I'm going to be looking for another country to go to. But the problem was that there wasn't enough people doing that, Rex. You know, and I'm not saying I'm great, because it was hard. It was struggle, you know, to make those decisions in our lives. You know, and I look at my oldest son. He's been on the radio a lot, and I think about him, you know, and I'm thinking he's 10 times smarter than I was at his age, you know. And it wasn't it's not a genetic thing. It's not an IQ thing. It was because we created that opportunity for him to think and understand, you know, what was going on in society so that he could make good decisions and be a good citizen of the country. You know, I'll be dead, and he'll be facing all the shit that we've allowed our country to become. And I've said it to him for years, probably scare the hell out of him. Your generation's going to have to clean this mess up, because I don't think we're going to turn it around in my generation. You know, I don't know. You know, we talk about this stuff all the time, every week, to some degree or another, you know, to varying degrees of intensity. But it's bad. And what's really bad is not that it's bad. It's how many people don't even know it's bad. That's what's bad.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the problem is, you know. How many people are just numb, you know, and just programmed, getting that government check. I mean, half this country receives some kind of, well, probably more now. Before the crash, half this country received some form of federal, you know, injection into their life to survive, whether it was a, you know, fuel subsidy or all the way to welfare, you know, total control. And now it's probably 60-70%. And nothing's changing, and nobody's talking about it. Nobody's talking about the need to reform government on either side of the aisle, except a couple guys, Rand and
Mike Lee. Mike Lee.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, and Lee, and conservative reform agenda.
I think Lee is going to be a dangerous man in the future. I think they underestimated because he's such a quiet demeanor.
I hope so, because he's really sharp and he knows the Constitution. But I think all those points you made are very true. And the most important thing is, you know, what is liberty? Do you believe it? Are you willing to defend it? What is your duty so that you can have rights? Because without duty, you don't have rights. Learn how to think. Teach the kids how to think, because they're the ones who are going to be picking the pieces up after this thing falls apart. And, you know, just it seems fruitless, but what else are you going to do? Give up? Comply? Or are you going to fight for the truth?
Well, a wiser fellow than myself once said, sometimes you eat the bar and much obliged. Sometimes the bar, while he eats you.
Sometimes the bar, while he eats you. Well, if you don't get in a fight with the bar, then you won't know who's going to win the fight, because you gave up before it started. Are those your final thoughts, or you still want to roll?
No, just one last thing. What in the hell are these idiot neocons doing poking the damn bear for? And
bar.
If you don't understand what I'm saying, then you need to wake the hell up, because this ain't frickin' Afghanistan we're screwing with. God almighty. You know, and you've got that that lovely McCain clip, right? We'll have to get into that next week.
Yeah, we'll do. We got plenty
of
Rand.
I mean, you don't have to
play
it. No.
Well, no, I haven't finished uploading that, but yeah, we got McCain from Harvard and Rand from Harvard, which we'll do a lot of that stuff next week. And who knows what else? What other little gems they'll give us? Like you know, dude, those like 2 years ago.
Dude.
What are you gonna do? All right. Well, I'm gonna be brief with my closing thoughts. All right, cool. Well, I'm going to be brief, because if you're looking for long-winded soliloquies.
You got the wrong guy. I'm the dude, man.
Actually, that's not true. I could probably go on for 45 minutes, but I won't bore you with the details. What I will remind you of is, dude, what constitution? It's still the written supreme law of the land. Yet most of you don't know what it's about, because you hear complicated things like, well, the Supreme Court decision and blah, blah, blah versus blah, blah, blah. And, you know, there's this clause. And the document was written for merchants and farmers, for regular folk
who probably didn't have access to nearly as much information as you do. It's not a complicated document. The problem is that it can mean whatever the hell you want it to mean if you're in power and you have all the money and no one challenges you. And why don't we challenge them? It's easier to pay the tax. It's easier to get stuff like a Social Security check, a disability check, you know, someone else to fight the wars for you, someone else to beat up on the criminals. Hey, you can give up all your responsibilities and someone else will have them. And when someone else has all the responsibilities that you're supposed to have, you got no rights. You do what they tell you to do. You do their bidding. And as long as you're in their good graces and their benevolence is showered upon you, great. But as soon as push comes to shove and resources are tight, they will look out for themselves and they will throw you to the wolves. That's how it works. That's how it's worked for all of human history. And it's just that simple. If you're not responsible, you won't be free. Very simple. It's a lot easier to give everybody else the power, and as long as there's not too much friction and no lack of resources, then no problem. But is that a life? Is that freedom? Is that dignity? I mean, if you want those things, you have to fight for those things. You don't get to abdicate the responsibility and then complain about it, which is precisely what conservatives, libertarians, or whatever else you want to label yourselves on the right have done. We've given up the responsibility to our betters. And our betters turned out to be liars, just like the quote other side, and we are where we are. We've got primaries. You're busy. This Tuesday, May 6th, you got Indiana. You got North Carolina CD12. You just heard on the Levin show there, you heard Dr. Brannon, sharp guy. Citizen statesman, he's fighting against the incumbent, or not the incumbent, but the speaker of the establishment. Help him out. Make some phone calls. Get some people excited. Get him out there. It doesn't take much to win these primary votes. I mean, you're talking about a few thousand people show up to vote in these things. It's not that hard. You just have to do the heavy lifting. We got Ohio. For God's sake, get rid of John Boehner. He might be a nice guy. Maybe you want to have sit at the old Ebbett Grill and have a scotch with him. But he's a crappy Speaker of the House because as Speaker of the House, he's done nothing but be Obama's caddy. Nice guy or not, I don't care. He's dangerous. He's got to go. We need someone like Trey Gowdy, who hopefully will be the special prosecutor in this Benghazi thing, and hopefully we can make him Speaker of the House. The following week, you got Nebraska, West Virginia. Then you got Arkansas, Georgia, Idaho, Kentucky. If the Republicans take the Senate, which they probably will, especially if this Benghazi thing gets some real traction because of the special prosecutor, some real facts coming out, and the Republicans get the Senate, do you want Mitch Turtle Con Man McConnell to be the majority leader? He's just the flip side of the desert rat Harry Reid. He's an establishment prick who won't do anything to stop Obama. He will come up with excuse after excuse. Oh, Mr. McConnell, now that you got the majority of the Senate and you've retained the majority in the House, are you going to repeal Obamacare? Well, we still have a math problem because Obama has a pen and he'll veto it. What you're going to have to do is give us Jeb Bush in 2016, keep the Senate in our power and the House, and then we'll get rid of Obamacare. And then guess what? In 2016, he'll come up with some excuse like, well, it's so complicated, and if we change it now, people lose their insurance. We'll just have to make it. But that's the game they play. Get rid of this guy. Tuesday, May 20th, Matt Bevin. And don't give me any crap about, well, Bevin might not be so good, and Bevin's not this, and Bevin, accepted TARP for his investment firm. I don't care if Bevin sucks. I don't care that he goes to cockfighting associations. You know, by the way, when I say cockfighting, I'm talking about like roosters, not Lindsey Graham-style cockfighting. I don't care. He's better than McConnell. So just get rid of McConnell, Matt Bevin. It's Tuesday, May 20th. Well, you got a runoff in Texas on the 27th, and then we go into June. There's a boatload of them. What are you doing? Are you sharing this show? Are you taking any information? Are you going back to our page and replaying the stuff that I told you about and going to our Facebook page, Liberty's Thunder on Facebook, and Chris's group, Liberty's Talk, on Facebook to get this information? Or are you just sitting back and bitching and whining and complaining? Okay? So, you know, that's what you got to do. You've got to get busy. You've got to take responsibility. You've got to make it happen. The Constitution is just a piece of parchment. If you're not willing to stand up, you're not willing to defend it, you're not willing to be the enforcers of the law. And we got a lot of things to fix. We got a whole century of progressive crap that's been happening that's brought us to where we are right now. But the only thing that matters is dislodging the duopoly, taking over the right wing of the duopoly, which is the Republican Party, and start to unroll this thing, start to put it back in its constitutional box, and work at your state level also to restore, you know, your sheriff, your militia of the several states, local governance, and not this draconian tax system where everything goes to Washington, D.C., and then comes back to us with strings. You got to work on these things, but you're not going to get anywhere if your number one issue is smoking grass or smoking pole or whatever your top favorite pet peeve issue, your favorite candidate is. It doesn't matter if you don't have the numbers and you don't have the voice. So what you do is you focus on the big, broad things, rule of law, constitution, fiscal responsibility,
economics,
reducing the debt, and not destroying the world and poking the dragon and the bear so that we go into some serious dangerous conflicts that we cannot afford to fight these days. Remember, when the Cold War ended, we were economically strong, we were militarily strong, and the Soviets were in decay, in debt, with a decrepit military left over from World War II. This is not the same fight. This is not one you can win today. Don't start it, because we don't need to. It's very simple. Very simple things to do. Just get busy and make it happen. And understand that the embarrassment that we have that passes for leadership now, guys like NSC Vidor, dude, that was like 2 years ago, four dead Americans is not something to forget about. And although the Republicans will use Benghazi as an electoral ploy, it is a real issue that deserves to be investigated. And it can be a very powerful tool for 2016, which will be used by Jeb Bush or Mitt Romney if you don't make 2014 count, so that we can get someone like Rand Paul, Ted Cruz, or one of the other guys who actually knows what they're doing vis-a-vis the Constitution, liberty, and fiscal responsibility. That's where we are. That's what's going on. You have to make it happen. Next week we'll be back Sunday night, 9 p.m. Eastern. Tell people about the show. Share the show. Remember, you can listen to any of our shows anytime on blogtalkradio.com at Liberty's Thunder. And we appreciate you sharing the show and getting the information out there. Keep fighting. You are the voice of liberty. You are the champion of liberty. You need to create a force multiplier and get people involved and bring us back to the rule of law and the Constitution so that we can go forward into the future of abundance and prosperity and safety and security and virtue and honor and live our lives as we should, as opposed to destroying the world for a few transnational corporations and enriching some at the expense of others, including loss of life. We'll be back next week. Keep fighting. Make sure this Tuesday counts. Make sure the primaries count. Don't sit on your ass. Make the primaries count, and keep an eye on the spring meeting of the RNC. Hopefully we'll get an update from the people that are going there for next week and let you know what's going on with that. There's multiple fronts. You need multiple pieces of attention. You need to keep your eye on the ball, and you need to get more people involved so that we will be stronger than them. There's more of us than there is of them. We surround them, but right now we're running around in circles. We need to work together, set aside our stupid little differences, and fight for the Constitution, fight for liberty, fight for the rule of law, fight for America. This is Rex and Trog, signing off.
The thunder of liberty rumbles on.
Maybe. I don't really remember.
You don't remember?
Dude, this was like 2 years ago. We're still talking about the most mundane
the
process.
I
am not Mr. Lebowski. You're Mr. Lebowski. I'm the dude. So that's what you call me, you know? That or his dudeness or duder or,
American people could have known that within days, and they didn't know that.
With all due respect, the fact is, we had four dead Americans. Was it because of a protest, or was it because of guys out for a walk one night who decided they'd go kill some Americans? What difference at this point does it make? It is our job to figure out what happened and do everything we can to prevent it from ever happening again, Senator. Now, honestly, I will do my best to answer your questions about this, but the fact is that people were trying in real time to get to the best information. The IC has a process, I understand, going with the other committees to explain how these talking points came out. But, you know, to be clear, it is, from my perspective, less important today, looking backwards, as to why these militants decided they did it than to find them and bring them to justice. And then maybe we'll figure out what was going on.
You human paraquat! Here's the fucking money, shithead!
Oh, it's, it's down there somewhere. Let me take another look.
Life does not stop and start at your convenience, you miserable piece of shit.
I haven't seen that, but what I will say is, again, diversion, subterfuge. Benghazi, Benghazi, Benghazi. Why aren't we talking about something else? Whatever was in that, what I know of what I've read in the press about the that those emails were very consistent with what was put out there before. I don't think there's anything new there.
The fuck is this?
Obviously, you're not a golfer.
You peed on the dude's rug.
Donnie, you're out of your element. Over the line!
Imagine a time when the White House is once again occupied by a friend of liberty. You may think I'm talking about electing Republicans. I'm not. I'm talking about electing lovers of liberty.
Is much more libertarianism than that's the fashionable word these days, I guess. A conservative is no longer just that. He's a libertarian.
Well, always has been. Because how do we call a liberal? You know, someone very profoundly once said many years ago that if fascism ever comes to America, it'll come in the name of liberalism. And what is fascism? Fascism is private ownership, private enterprise, but total government control and regulation. Well, isn't this the liberal philosophy? The conservative, so-called, is the one that says, less government, get off my back, get out of my pocket, and let me have more control of my own destiny.
I know that, dude.
You know, sometimes you eat the bar, and sometimes, you know, hey, man.
How do you do, dude?
I wonder if I'd see you again.
I wouldn't miss the semis. How things been going?
Oh, you know, strikes and gutters, ups and downs.
Sure, I've got you.
Yeah. Thanks, Gary. Well, take care, man. Gotta get back.
Sure. Take it easy, dude.
Oh, yeah.
I know that you will.
Yeah, well, the dude abides.
I don't know about you, but I take comfort in that. It's good knowing he's out there, the dude, taking her easy for all us sinners. Shush. I sure hope he makes the finals. Well, that about does her. Wraps her all up. Things seem to have worked out pretty good for the dude and Walter. And it was a pretty good story, don't you think? Made me laugh to beat the band. Parts, anyway. I didn't like seeing Donnie go. But then I happen to know that there's a little Lebowski on the way. I guess that's the way the whole darn human comedy keeps perpetuating itself. Down through the generations. Westward the wagons. Across the sands of time until we... Oh, look at me. I'm rambling again. Well, I hope you folks enjoyed yourselves. Catch you later on down the trail. Say, friend, you got any more of that good sarsaparilla?
Maybe. I don't really remember.
You don't remember?
Dude, this was like 2 years ago. We're still talking about the
Dude,
most mundane
it is the thing
process.
That everybody's...
Well, you should be coming on pretty soon, dude. How much do you smoke?
This will be a little demonstration of that. Listen up.
What was that?
That was my skull. I'm so wasted.
I'm not that smart, I promise you. It wasn't, it just...
What are you people? On dope?